Good evening, everybody. Bob, is that okay? Am I talking loud enough? Welcome to the special meeting, July 27th, 2006, the Board of Directors. We're having a one-topic meeting and a closed session afterwards. And I first need a report out of closed session. Mr. Onstad, are you ready to give that, or should that be me?
You.
Okay. Because Mr. Onstad was not there on Tuesday. It was Mrs. Biggs. And the report out of closed session is there were no reportable actions except one. And the one reportable action was that the board directed the president to write a letter to John Decker, who is the consultant for the bill, with how the bill affects litigation and other matters to coming out of closed session. And a copy of that letter is on the table. So I wanted to make sure that everybody got to see a copy of that letter. The letter had to go in before the deadline, and that's what we did. So there are copies of that letter available for the public. Now, we've just received a lot of information today. The board and the public has not had a chance to read any of the information that's on the table. It's very important that you get a chance to do that. I'm going to tell you what the information is, and then we're going to take a reading break for about 15 minutes, just to, so everybody can have a chance to take a better look at it. Because the board just got it, and you just got it, and it's, I want to make sure everybody, we're not rushing on through it. So here's what's happened. As you know, Vice President Fouché and I have been the negotiating team with Blakeslee on the bill, on AB 2701. Timing hasn't been the greatest. It's been kind of rushed, and everybody's been feeling kind of rushed about it. The first hearing, I was out of town on a vacation, and then the next week, well, now I'm feeling like I'm reverberating, next week the main county person who was Pavo Ogren was on vacation. And so we had kind of a lag in there that we couldn't get started. And I know there was a legislative hearing, and Director Tacker and Director Sennett were at it, and we missed the chance to provide any comments prior to that hearing, except for what they provided at the hearing. We wanted to rectify that. So we've been having hearings with you, the public, on the bill as it's been progressing. And John Fouché and I have met representing your board with the county and Blakeslee. And we've been proposing amendments, bringing everything in that all the public has brought in and all that the board has brought in. We brought everything in to the negotiations as a starting point. And we had a meeting this Monday, and we narrowed the list to the most important amendments that we thought should be included using the legal staff report that was prepared for the board as the basis. We provided the red line copy of the bill that was prepared by our legal staff, and we provided the list of places in the bill that we needed to talk about and areas that we needed to discuss. And those items were the basis for our negotiations on Monday. And Pavo Ogren and Noel King were there from the county, and Sam was there for a while, and Christine Robertson was attending as well. So it was John and I and them. So now we have, before you tonight, we have three pieces of paper. We have, and that's where Dan Blesky is making copies of that, because we didn't get copies of that yet, and we're bringing that. That's about 4 pages long, and we're bringing that in for you to read as well. That was their response to our discussion points at the negotiation meeting. This is their offering back to us, so we had something to take into closed session, and we're making that available to the public. The third letter comes from Assemblyman Blakeslee, and we just received it today at about 3:30 or 4, probably 3 o'clock today. And this is his response to the negotiations that occurred and what he is proposing to submit tomorrow for amendments. So I'm not going to make any editorial comments yet about it. I would rather everybody just read it for themselves. And those are the three documents that you have to read. And again, the board has not read these either yet, so I'd like it to take about 15 minutes and for everybody to have a chance to read. And the next letter will be coming back shortly. Okay, thanks. Tell me when. Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to start the meeting up again. And for the people who came in a little bit after my announcement, here's what we did. I just gave a reading break because all the materials are new, both to the board and to you. The only one that saw them before today at 5 o'clock was me, working with staff. So I wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to read these letters. So actually, okay, so I'm going to just repeat what they are. The first letter is a letter that came out of our closed session on Tuesday evening. The board directed me to work with staff to compose a letter, to submit comments to John Decker, who is the consultant for the bill, because he had a deadline and we didn't want to miss it. We had to get something in because Assemblyman Blakesley and the county were working to the last minute trying to see what amendments they could get approved by everybody. It's a complicated negotiation process. So we decided that we wanted to get comments in to Mr. Decker and provide him with a proposed red line copy, which is the same one that you've seen before. Now, the proposed red line copy that you have in front of you does not include the amendments that were made during the legislative committee. They are written on top of the first original bill. So the next thing in that packet, so there's the letter to John Decker, the red line copy, which is called Exhibit A, of the bill, where suggested language from our attorneys and directed by our board for me to write the letter, and a proposed draft resolution for tonight for discussion and or adoption and adoption. So that's the packet right there. Now, because we're so jammed for time, or because we've been, this whole process has been jam because of the deadlines of the legislature and the bill. So we've been trying to make the deadlines, and even the board is asking me, where did this come from? When did this happen? Because it's very fast. So again, this is proposed language and in the resolution. And the letter had to go out quickly, and top of the list, the top eight issues, and we brought them forward and discussed with the county. They have copies of everything, though. They have copies of the citizen letter. They have a copy of our red line. They have copies of our legal analysis. If you've read in the TT, they have a complete copy of our legal analysis. And they have everything that we think and feel about the bill. So, and we had a very cordial discussion. It was very positive. It was cooperative. And we're all trying to think and figure out what is the best thing to do. And I believe that about everybody in this room. And I know everybody's tense, and everyone up here is tense. Most of us haven't slept much this week. This is a very big decision. And no one's taking it lightly, but I would ask you very respectfully to be respectful to your neighbors tonight and to us, and we will do the same. We're going to disagree on things. That's inevitable. But we can be polite about it. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing at all. And I'm going to take my own lead and be that way because there's a lot of asking me questions right now up here because everyone's saying, what is this? You know, because it's the timing again. So did the best I could. Anyhow, in the county letter, you will notice the things that we picked out of the bill that had the greatest concern from the public hearings, from your letters, from our own legal review. And those were, we thought the preamble language should be edited because we're very concerned about the CDO actions and issues for all citizens in town. And we really thought that preamble language of the bill should be edited. And the county said that they were neutral on that. They didn't oppose our request for editing the preamble language. The second thing that we were concerned about was we didn't like the urgency clause. We didn't think there should be an urgency clause in this bill, because it doesn't give us a chance to finish the reporting and the plans that we've had before someone takes it. You know, someone takes the project and assumes it. So, again, the county was neutral on the urgency clause. They weren't in any hurry to take it over. They didn't feel strongly about having to hurry up. And that was what they said to us in the meeting. Third point was a big one for many people, and that's about affordability. And we discussed the pros and cons of putting affordability in the bill. That's how we approached the topic. What's the good side of it? What's the bad side of it? And there was a lot of discussion in the room that this was a hot term, and it is. And there's so much fear in Sacramento and other places that Los Osos just doesn't want anything, which is not this far from the truth. We just all want maybe different things, but we all want something. And so this is a trigger for the State Water Board and others. So it's also, though, and the county felt very strongly about this, it's also a mechanism for them to seek grants and funding for us. So they kind of thought it was good. So it wasn't the county that thought that affordability shouldn't be in the bill. They need all the support they can get. We all need all the support we can get to get affordability discussed and on the table. So they were they recognized the need for this. They were taking kind of the state's lead, Christine's lead, about how the word in the bill may have been a hot topic. So that was discussed at quite length. And the next thing was about the 218 clause. Now, we've heard from all of you many times, be willing to front before they get a 218. So there's kind of this back and forth about that. How much are we willing to spend before you vote? You know, they're taking a risk, and then we vote. So there was a lot of back and forth about that. Okay, the next point was there was a problem with the paragraphs on the transfer of assets. And I think many of you pointed that out. Our legal counsel did as well. There was a paragraph about you got to transfer assets first and then we'll adopt a resolution later. And we said that looks wrong. That doesn't make sense. You promised due diligence in a 218 and an advisory vote. And you can't transfer assets first. And that doesn't make sense. And the county, again, was open to comments about this and fixing this. They saw the way it wrote. They told us that that was not their intent. Their intent was to have a due diligence period and then a resolution and not the transfer of assets first. So that's what they told us in that meeting on Monday. It was not their intent. And so they also told us that they didn't want assets that had existing judicial proceedings or problems with them. They weren't interested in transferring any assets over that had liabilities attached. So the next thing we discussed, and they said we should work more into these. Then each thing that we talked about, we just said if it should be in the bill or in an interagency agreement. Every point that we discussed, we said, should it be in the bill or should it be worked out in the interagency? The interagency takes longer. They just take time. They take usually, I mean, we work with interagencies in our jobs, and I know they're, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's county and we're state, and it takes 6 to 9 months to get a good one. That's just the way it is. It takes a long time to get a good one. So there was no time to do an interagency this summer. We have full commitment from the county that they intend to do an interagency. So what we thought, or I guess what I thought in speaking with staff, the best thing to do was incorporate some of their discussions with us about that and assurances with us about that into our resolution. So it's written, recorded somewhere. So when you read the draft resolution, you're going to see some of that language in there. Why we put the language in was because we had these conversations with the county and they're committing to doing this. So we want it recorded. And it's also in their June 19th staff report to the County Board of Supervisors, too. Another issue that was a big topic for all of us was the liability, immunity, discretionary action clauses. And we went round and round about this, too. They insist that the Legislative Council for the State of California says that this clause means that the language in the bill is what they're immune from, nothing else. It doesn't mean you're immune from CEQA. It doesn't mean you're immune from other discretionary actions. It just means that the language in the bill is what you're immune from, and it's a standard clause. What we said, a lot of people don't like that clause, and we really need some clarification there. Could you do that for us? Because that's causing a lot of problems and misunderstandings. So they said they were willing to look at that and amend it because they could see why it was confusing. That's what they told us. And then the final thing, and this isn't in the bill, but we wanted to bring it up. We brought up topics that weren't in the bill, too. We talked about the interagency. We talked about the 6 points of the counties. The county adopted their 6 points and how they had to stick to those 6 points. And we talked about this topic here called the revenue stream. And we had concerns that the way the bill was written is that the county is about. And before I go on, I'd like to ask Vice President if he has anything to add to the county letter. Okay. So that was the county letter in response to our meeting on Monday. And then what Christine told me she was going to do is get with the other stakeholders on the phone and discuss what the county and I had discussed. This is like a five-way negotiation, as you could imagine. There's state agencies all involved, mostly the regional and state boards. That's the main players, and the Legislative Council, and Mr. Blakesley, and the county, and us. So she said she was going to get on the phone the rest of the week, and she'd get back to me as soon as she could about what they were willing to propose as amendments to the bill after talking to everybody. And that's the letter that you have here from Assemblyman Blakesley's office, the four-pager. This is what they're willing to propose as amendments to the bill. Now, this isn't done yet. It's getting close to being done, though. The hearing on the bill is August 7th. That's what I've been told. Unless someone knows different, that's what I've been told. But this is what Sam Blakesley now says, that he's willing to amend the bill in these areas. Now, I talked to Christine for about a half hour today again to get clarification on what this is, because as you notice, it's kind of vague in language. And the reason it's, and this is this, she says, I want to explain to you why. She says, we're not lawyers. We don't write the language. We can't write the language. So it's kind of topic-based. They take all the topics that we brought up, and then some more that they thought of, too, that could have caused unintended consequences in the bill. And when they went through them, and these are what he wants to propose as amendments tomorrow, because tomorrow is his deadline. That's why we're having this special meeting again, because he needs an answer from us. He wants to know if we support this bill or not. He needs a commitment. And that's why we're here, to decide if we can commit. Now, the timing again of me and the staff writing this note to Mr. Decker based on our conversations, the Monday conversations with the county, and now the result of all those conversations, just getting this today at 3:30. And the timing is crucial. So that's kind of the timeline of why and when. And if everybody's a little uncomfortable with that, well, so are we. You know, I shouldn't speak for everybody. I'm uncomfortable with it. So I just wanted you to know why and how it developed. When you read the draft resolution, you will see it's a draft, because we didn't have this yet. We didn't know exactly how to write it yet. You know how that is, where you don't know exactly what you want to write? So that's why the draft resolution, we're going to talk about it together after we hear from you. So, again, Mr. Blakesley's letter, I'm going to go over this one too, because I'm the one that spoke to her. She explained it to me, and you may need your own explanation. I'm just conveying what I was told by the office, and that's the best I can do for you at this point in time. Yes, I'm sorry. Mr. Bleski.
Madam President, before we move on to that, let me just explain that.
Can't hear you.
Is that better? Okay. That there are two versions of the resolution out there, just for clarification. The resolution that we sent this morning has draft stamped right on the top of it, and some of the public will have that in their package.
Proposed draft resolution that I wrote last night with our attorneys, is it about 2 a.m.? 2 a.m. version? Your version doesn't say draft? What does it say? 2006-20?
Let me confirm it, and okay, well, it may be that the draft would be a big draft in kind of read-through, like you see, so it would be very noticeable. Sometimes that screen draft, the watermark, does not copy. So I got to confirm this one, and I can do that. I'll just run back to the office and look at the originals.
Okay. Okay, so Mr. Bleski is going to get to check copies to make sure we're all on the same page. And just make brand new ones if we don't have it right. Does anybody have a draft on their resolution copy? It would be in the Decker package, the fatter one. Does anyone's copy say draft? Okay, nobody's copy says draft, Dan. All right, and now so I'm going to go over the Blakesley letter and explain to you what I learned today. So that's, like I said, what I can do for you this evening. Hang on just a sec. I want to get my notes on it. Oh, boy, paper. Hang on for just a sec. I want to make sure I have the right copy. Yes, I'm on a red line. That'd be great. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, and then I didn't see you. Okay, I got it now. Just a sec. All right, now we're on the Blakeslee letter, which is he, like I said, came to us at about 3:30 today. And the first one had to do with the legislative findings, and this is what we referred to as the preamble, where we didn't like the language about pollution and that everybody's polluting and they need CDOs on their property. We were very concerned about our citizens, and we would hope that this would not be the approach to be taken. And he just says they got a lot of feedback on this issue, and the challenge was to get something in here that would meet the needs of the citizens. And that's where Christine explained to me that they're not lawyers and they need to have the legislative language composed by their staff. So they bring the topic up, they bring the content that they want changed, and then they work with the legislative staff to see how it comes out. So that's what he did in all of these topics. He just said what we want to change, and then the legislative council has to work up the language. So we don't have that yet. Just have the concepts of what need to be changed. And he says, my assembly office will instruct legislative council to amend Section 1A to address potential impacts of the term violations. And that's with regard to CDOs. So he's willing to negotiate on this and willing to amend the bill based on this. The second one has to do with cost mitigation, and this has to do with affordability. He's calling it cost mitigation and detailed, project and, details on a project. And so this purpose, the bill is seeking to conform with Prop 13 and 218, both of which were approved by the voters to ensure certain standards and vote thresholds for levying taxes and fees on all of us. We have to agree to be taxed and levied. And so to strengthen this and to make it clearer, there was kind of four technical amendments that he's seeking to do that. And one of them is just removing, there's an act in there, a law that isn't really pertain. So he's taking it out, the Landscape and Lighting Act. That's no biggie. The next one has to do with standby charges. A lot of the community was concerned about the standby charge language, and it must be done with a vote, and it can't be done without a vote. And he concurs with that, and he's going to get language in there to do that. The third one is a very important one, and that is the timing of assessments on your property. Okay, so here's kind of the sequence of the timing as it was explained to me. We vote for the 218 vote. If it's approved, the county does what's called a due diligence period. The due diligence is where they do all their investigations if they're, and if they can decide whether or not they want to take the project at that time. There's another thing they have to do then is to adopt a resolution to accept the project. You cannot be charged, if the Prop 218 passes, you cannot be charged for your assessment until they adopt their resolution. They must pass this before they have, before that you can be assessed. And the authority to proceed spending money, I'm just reading my notes here. And then I asked, well, when does the advisory vote happen? Because we've been talking about the sequence of events. The advisory vote happens after they adopt the resolution to take the project, and that's where you get to vote on the exact type or choice of project. So that's how it was explained to me. But the advisory vote's not in the bill, but the county is committing to doing an advisory vote. They're committing to doing it. So that's, I'm just telling you what they've told me in language. Director Tacker.
I'm confused about the order then. So it is 218 before advisory?
Yes. As of right now, that's how it's written. Because the people who are paying for it have to accept that they're going to pay for the project. It's still the same thing, though. The more detail in the 218, the better, because we have advised again, you've got to have details or it's not going to pass. People aren't going to want to. Yes.
Well, just a commentary that if you have a detailed 218, then the advisory is really moot. It's backwards.
Vice President?
The 218 why the county wants to do the 218 at the level that they want to do it is a cost to them to get the information that they need to put on the bill with additional environmental studies, engineering studies, whatever it takes to get to that point. It's going to cost the county more money to get there. And their position is that they would rather spend, not commit, to $6 to $8 million is the number that they threw.
Need some help and input from the audience on this if you know how to redress this fact. Like I said, the advisory vote is not in the bill. This could be up for negotiation in the interagency. I think we could make a good case for doing an advisory vote first, but I don't know. I believe we should, because, again, if we want a 218 vote, Director Tacker's right, the more detail, the better. And I'm going to get to that because we did discuss that today, too. So, anyhow, four clarifications recommended for the 218 process. The Assemblyman is willing to take forward. Okay, the next point is the transfer of assets. A lot of us were very concerned about the language and the clauses in the bill about the transferring of CSD assets, because you know we have some crises coming up here, financial, and you know that we're very close to having an updated project report, and we really want to see that happen, the Ripley Report, by the way, August 4th, 6 p.m., Community Center is our workshop. So this clause about the transfer of assets was a problem, and the county agreed, and the Assemblyman agrees, and we have a great change here that the transfer of assets clause is completely removed from the bill. It's removed. It's out. It's done. It's not even mentioned. So that's what he's going to recommend. And that says, my assembly office will instruct legislative counsel to strike from the bill reference to discretionary county authority to transfer LOCSD real property. So he did address it, and I'm happy about that one myself. The next one is another one I think that is a good one that most of us brought up, and that's the urgency clause. We don't like the urgency clause because we have a lot of stuff in process. We've got Ripley, and we have in situ that we'd like to get started. There are things that we want to carry out. We've had these great goals, and the county was neutral, and the Assemblyman is going to work with the committee who introduced the urgency clause to gain their concurrence to have the provision removed. So he is honoring that request, and he's willing to go forward and get the urgency clause removed. That would mean that we could finish all this great work that we've done, and then we could pass it on to the county if this is indeed what we decide to do, and they won't have to start over. They can use the good work that we've done. So next is about due diligence. Hang on just a sec. I don't like to keep saying this, but I do have a job, and I got this about 2 hours ago, so I'm not real composed and perfect about this, so apologize. Anyhow, due diligence. There are unintended consequences of due diligence. Significant incentive for the county not to do an alternatives analysis because of the cost, and this is kind of what I was segueing into. The more of our work that we can get in, the less work they'll have to do, the farther we can get along to more details for a 218 vote. And I think that's all of our goals. We want to know what we're paying for. So they're trying to change the language of the criteria for the due diligence period to reflect the original intent, which was to facilitate the development of reasonable technology and location options earlier, which is consistent with the county's adopted project strategies to develop and hold an advisory vote on alternatives. So, again, responding to what we're asking for, which is more detail up front. Again, got to check the sequence on the votes. Okay. The next clause under due diligence, is the current language suggests that the county will not commence their due diligence until after the Prop 218 vote. And then again, this is back to the same thing, because there may be many elements in the due diligence review that are relevant to the development of project strategies prior to the 218 vote. The bill will clarify that the county may, at their discretion, begin their due diligence review prior to their Prop 218 election, which makes a lot of sense to me, because that's what we're saying. We need you to start doing alternatives analysis. We need you to use our Ripley report, et cetera, to get somewhere before a vote. And so they want to amend the language to reflect that flexibility. And then liability was a big thing. Hang on. Let me just read it, because I don't think I have anything more to add for the audience at home. But the provisions envisioned in the bill are intended to clarify that the county may make decisions to proceed or not to proceed without fear of litigation attacking those decisions, which could significantly delay the entire process, add costs, and make the project less affordable. All parties are in agreement that county taxpayers should not be held responsible for past or ongoing liabilities associated with the actions of our CSD. Some have argued that the scope could cover activities unrelated to the bill, which is not the intent. Okay, again, back, it's about the bill. To make this abundantly clear, these limitations will be explicitly added in the language of the bill. Therefore, my assembly office will instruct Legislative Council to specifically add CEQA, which is the California Environmental Quality Act, to the list of actions for which the county shall not be immune, and explicitly point to the specific discretionary decisions in the bill for which the provision applies. So that's not the only one they're going to add, but they're going to specifically mention CEQA. And that was a direct request from many of you and us as well. We were concerned about that. So he agrees, and he's going to do something about that. And then there is a kind of a technical cleanup, and this is the one that that the Assemblyman's office noted as an unintended consequence of the bill. And the bill does not mandate a transfer to the county. It doesn't mandate it. There's a lot of clauses in there that are maybes, and they have the final say in resolution after we go through all these things. Instead, it provides a mechanism by which such a transfer could occur only if certain conditions are met. The bill currently enumerates a number of scenarios under which the county's role would be concluded and the LOCSD would assume full responsibility. Another scenario needs to be included, especially the scenario in which the county decides against holding a Prop 218 election and simply abandons any effort to pursue the provisions of this bill. What if they did that? That's what the Assemblyman asked. And so he said that he wants to add a fourth condition under this, which the LOCSD resumes full responsibility. And what I asked her on the phone is there a timeline on this? I mean, if they don't hold a 218 vote within a certain amount of time, or they decide not to. And she said that when the bill takes effect, hang on just a second, takes no more efforts. I can't read what my writing here. It's just the fact that still remains unanswered. Should there be a time limit on how long we give the county to decide what to do? You know, do we give them forever, or is there a time limit? So I still need to get an answer for that. So that's the description of everything that you've got in front of you, and now would be the best time to take public.
No real discussion, but I did ask the county if they would buy Tri-W for a park. So the question was posed, but there's no answer.
And then, Lisa, when you were talking about how all of this under the time limits and you said a five-way negotiation among the stakeholders, can you tell me and the public who are the stakeholders?
Okay, this is what I think, again, because some of you already know this, but I want to go through it again. We tried to negotiate through Assemblyman Blakesley's office last fall with the State Water Board. That didn't succeed. In January, I saw David Edge and I saw Assemblyman Blakesley at his hearing. He had an open house in Atascadero, and I approached them both and I said, would you please come sit down with us and start solving this problem together? What will it take for us to sit down together? And they said, let us think about it. David Edge told me to write a resolution to the county asking for their assistance. We did that. We wrote a resolution and passed it to Assemblyman Blakesley asking for his assistance in February. I have been going in their office and updating them constantly. They have been like the hub of the spoke. They are talking to the State Water Board. They have been talking to the Regional Board. They have been talking to the county, and they have been talking to us. They've been filtering the information and trying to figure out where everybody's coming from to try to get everybody at the table together. We've never been at the table, like sitting in a room talking to any of these people except the county recently. So that's how it worked. We accepted that Assemblyman Blakesley was going to be the hub. And he went out and negotiated with all the other people. Now, what I told him, and I'll tell you this too, I really think that it would have been better if we would have had a chance to talk to the county earlier. Because when you get in the room and you see people face to face, you actually get somewhere. You know, you sit down and you see everybody's human and you start talking. So that's the way it happened, and then the time got crunched at the end, and that's the stakeholders that I know about. Now, if you know about other ones, you need to disclose them to me, because those are the ones that I've been told. State Board, Water Board, County, Assemblyman Blakeslee, and us. Am I missing anybody that anybody knows about? Julie?
Well, I asked Sam this very question because I was unclear, and I had a meeting with him, I think it was two Fridays ago, and I was unclear who the stakeholders are. And when he listed them to me, he said, as you did, the county, the regional board, the state board, the CSD, he didn't mention himself, but he did mention Taxpayers Watch and Sierra Club, because I know that you'd had a meeting with the Sierra Club, because they had already supported the bill as written when it went before the up to Sacramento in mid-June. So I guess I'm wondering, is Taxpayers Watch still at this table? And are these, and it doesn't sound like you.
I was pretty preoccupied with my own discussion, so I'm going to ask everybody. There's no back and forth right now. You're going to have your chance at the podium. Director Tacker is asking questions to the board, and that's what's going on. And if you can't handle that, go outside for a while and come back. We're going to do this politely and respectfully, and we have to keep order. Okay, let's try again. Director Tacker.
I'll switch topics because I don't think you have the answers to that. We're rushing today. I've made it abundantly clear I don't like doing that. What I'm wondering is, if we do not support the bill, what does Mr. Blakeslee do tomorrow?
I don't know the answer to that. I didn't ask him that question. Did anybody ask Mr. Blakeslee that question? No. I can't speak to that, Julie.
My question then is to Sam, wherever you are, do you take the bill as it was written yesterday and go on without our community's input, without our board's input? Again, you can't answer that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Do you have any other questions at this time? I did want to mention that in several times when I had gone into the office talking to Christine and or Sam or anyone in there, they did mention that they were having meetings with citizens and citizen groups also who were concerned, citizens who were suing us, like Taxpayer Watch, and citizens, just individuals, were coming in, many individuals. They were seeing many groups and many people that they did not mention by name, but they did mention Taxpayer Watch by name because they were suing us and they were causing us debt. So I do want to disclose that yes, they did mention that to me. But the other ones, and I did have a meeting with John in the Sierra Club just last week with Assemblyman and his aide, Christine Robertson. So that is true. That did happen. But the other ones were all of you who were going to see Assemblyman Blakeslee. And he wasn't telling me all about all of you or who you were, but he said he was getting lots of letters and lots of people coming in. Okay. Anybody else have a question for me on this presentation, as choppy as it was? But anybody else would like to? Anyone else from the board? So here's what we're going to do for public comment, unless I have input from the board. We're proposing to adopt a resolution to support the bill. And it's going to be a yes or no vote. That's how it's written. It's a draft. And that's the action we're deciding to take tonight, because he needs an answer tomorrow, because the consultant prepares his report, and because the bill will be heard on August 7th. If he wants our support, if we're going to give it to him, and if he gets our support, he's going to push for these amendments. That's what I've been told. So I'm passing that information on to you, and I want to hear from you. So Director Tacker and then Vice President.
Oh. One more thing. We need to do a roll call. The board is all here. That's just an aside. But Mr. I would be curious Mr. Onstott's, I think he just read these this evening too.
Concepts and only concepts that Assemblyman Blakeslee is going to submit to Legislative Council's office is appropriate, and it will be, the exact wording will be drafted by attorneys in Legislative Council's office, and it's important to keep in mind and keep your options open to be able to object to that exact language if it doesn't reflect either what's in Assemblyman Blakeslee's letter or the will of the board as adopted through a resolution if you choose to do that tonight. The second and last comment I'd like to make is that despite promises, despite discussions, whether it's by lawyers, policymakers, members of the public, Ledge Counsel's office, politicians, the only thing that really counts is the exact wording in the statute after it's adopted by both parts of the legislature and signed by the governor. That is your only comfort, and that is to rely upon the exact words of the statute as opposed to spins and meanings and promises by other people. So if there's something that you want or not want in that legislation, you can't rely on a promise. You should ask to either have it removed explicitly or placed into the bill explicitly.
Any other questions from the board of either I or staff at this time? Okay. How would you like to do public comment tonight? 3 minutes? Okay. We're going to stay with 3 minutes for right now, see how it goes.
I have a point of clarification, if that's okay.
Okay.
My point of clarification, hi, Bo Cooper. I'm not clear exactly which, are we voting on this this version of the bill? We're talking about 2701 and Exhibit, with amendments on Exhibit A. Is this Exhibit A the changes that I have on my, that I picked up?
We're still getting that clarified.
So we're not
Dan
sure.
Blesky, we don't know yet. So we don't know yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and just to be clear, so we're not sure what we're voting on yet.
Okay, so I think what we better do is let's do 3 minutes and 1 minute. Until when Mr. Blesky comes back. Or if you want to wait, if you're really concerned about the language of the resolution, we're going to have to wait to make sure that we have the right one. Wait a second, Vice President, go ahead.
I guess if we take the original bill, 2701, and assume that the edits are what Mr. Blakeslee's letters say that they are, then that's where we would be. Am I correct in that? Or is there anything else different than the original 2701, or the latest one with no amendments, and you add this language to it? That's where we are voting on.
Yes, except that we don't have the amended one that was already amended either. So that's one. We don't have the most recent version of the bill here.
Well, and I guess what I'm saying, too, is since some of this is conceptual, we really don't have the final language anyway, and if we wanted to assume final language, that would be probably a bad assumption. So I don't think that we can...
Tomorrow to his Ledge Council consultant. And I'm sorry, to the consultant, to the Appropriations Committee. I stand corrected. And we're waiting for Dan Blesky to get back to make sure which resolution we have in front of us. But just keep that all in mind as you're speaking tonight. And I think I'm going to hold you to the 3 minutes and the 1 minute, and I'm going to ask for respect of that rule. And do not ask me to go over. I'm a softie, but I want you to stick to the time so we can all stick together. We're going to do 3 minutes and 1 minute. And I'm going to start Mrs. Vega right now with a public comment. Okay, who would like to come up and speak? Mr. Martin?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And an apology to the board for my facetious remark. It was, meant in good humor. Madam President, fellow board members, thank you for your resolve regarding the lifeline extended to our beleaguered community by Assemblyman Sam Blakeslee. At a time where everyone else was stepping and crushing us from every direction possible, Assemblyman Blakeslee covers a large district known as Assembly District 33. Lesosos and his quagmires are but a portion of his district that he represents. He stepped in to help arbitrate our dilemma with the State Water Board. The loss of our state funds only discovered that the powers to be were not acting in good faith and pulled the rug out from underneath him. Yet he came back, you know, and to craft a special legislation that speaks before the Water Quality Control Board in resolving the issues of funding and solution and perhaps stopping the CDOs that many of us have received. He approaches the County of San Luis Obispo, who expresses no interest in negotiating with him or jumping into the fray. He proceeds until he is able to come up with and craft an ordinance in a law, an assembly bill that the county and the Water Control Board will even consider. The bill was crafted by the assemblyman and his staff, not the County of San Luis Obispo. The county bought into the ordinance and are willing to put a $2 million of general funds to help jumpstart our faltering Los Osos Community Services District. But the fact remains, Madam President, fellow board members, that the lead agency that has the responsibility to reject this is going to be basically the citizens of Los Osos in their approval or disapproval of the 218 vote.
Thank you.
So I just urge you that we don't waste a lot of time and move as quickly as we possibly can, and therefore urge you to act swiftly and endorse this bill.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much. Could we hold on? We're just going to hold off public comment until everybody gets a copy of what to do. Mr. Blesky?
I have one more second. It was the cop. I'll straighten out a public comment, okay?
What?
I'll get it straightened out. What happened is the one you have in the letter did not.
Taking a 5-minute reading break to read the late resolution. Tell me when. Okay, I have a suggestion for everybody right now because we need some clarification from the attorney, and we're waiting for her. Use the copy as the base copy, this one. Just throw this one away for right now. We're going to focus on one copy, and we're going to change this one. This is the most revised one, and it says draft. How many people don't have the one that Dan went and copied? It is actually the same one as you have in your first Decker packet that doesn't say draft on it. It is the same. I'm saying that. Blesky's telling me that.
Yes, it is, and I've confirmed that. What happened is the copier didn't pick up the draft.
We're going to give our copies away because we got a new one. Hang on.
The one we got in our original packet is okay.
It's okay. It just doesn't show draft on it. I just want to check it real quick. Yes. If you came in early and you picked up a Decker packet, the resolution in the back is the one we're going to use for public comment and the one we're going to base our amendments of it, revisions of it, your comments on. Just throw the other one away or fold it up. They put a fold in the paper so you don't get confused. Because, boy, oh, boy. This is what I can't see. Decker packet. No, that one fold. The small one, just fold up and put it aside. That's not the one we're working on. What happened is, we're going to get started at the meeting, so please have a seat. I want to explain this to everybody so you don't get more confused than we already are. You look like a slouch. Yes. Yes. I'm going to announce it again. The first packet that's stapled with a letter to John Decker on the cover is the resolution that we're going to be working off of. Some copies say draft and some copies don't, but that's the resolution we're working on. If you picked up a small handout, just 4 pages, double-sided, fold that one and put it aside. That was an older version. She sent the wrong one. What the attorney tried to do was, after she received the comments from Assemblyman Blakesley at 3:30 this afternoon, she tried to revise the bill, but we didn't get that copy.
You're just cutting and pasting here, and we don't know really what's going on. So if we could get something from him and then maybe just do this at another time, I would feel a lot more comfortable about it. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Arcuni. Mr. Allaby.
Chris Allaby, Los Ozos. All right. Here we are, running around like a bunch of squirrels, going through this reams of paperwork. And I don't see anything in this legislation that puts a spending cap on anything, an estimation of costs, nothing in that line. The gentleman over on the right here, our attorney, is absolutely right. If it's not in that draft, it means nothing. It's all talk. And until all those things get patched up, I can't support this.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Ricano.
Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. I support AB 2701, and I applaud Mr. Blakesley's efforts. I applaud your efforts and the community's efforts. I am happy to see the CEQA being mentioned, and I also am very adamant about that the Ripley Pacific findings and studies must play a central role. I thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Sadowski.
Richard Sadowski, North Morro Bay, Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group. I support this legislation. And I'm also a collections worker certificate holder of grade 4. And I believe that this legislation will help facilitate a quick and solution to the problems faced with this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Marla, hello.
Good evening. Marla Jo Bouton, North Morro Bay, and I'm an Ocean Outfall Group person. I also support the AB 2701 bill. I became aware of your situation here almost 2 years ago and started coming over and participating, which is what I think that all the communities, Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Los Osos, we all need to be looking at what's going on here. I think as far as the CDOs go, long before the legislation was mentioned here, it was my idea that that would be one of the only ways that could facilitate the stopping of the CDO enforcement for the people here would have to go through legislation without spending donkey's years of time fighting. And I'm glad to see that the CEQA is included. That was a big one. As long as the project is environmentally the best project and we pay attention and give the respect that the Ripley findings show for the community, I think it's the best bet to go here. And I love everybody here. I really do. And it's fabulous, the discussions and I've never seen a
reservations as far as the legislation is concerned, the way it is now written. I am very much impressed, and I think that I would commend you. I meant to also commend the board for all of the hard work that you have done. Excuse me for forgetting that. I apologize. you have done a lot of work. The citizens of Los Osos have done a lot of work to try to mend this this broken contraption that we have here, 2701. What I want to do, I want to refer to Mr. Onstott's comments, and I fully back what he said about it's a case of verify after after the legislation. I want to ask you to please, in your resolution, to make it clear that we are not taking this thing carte blanche, and that we want to be able to have to be able to review it after it is completed. We're taking it with reservations. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Oakes.
Good evening, Madam President and members of the board. My name is Aaron Oakes. I'm from Los Osos. I do not support the Blakeslee legislation for the following reasons. Los Osos has a problem on its hands. We have a deficiency of leadership, and this problem needs to be corrected as quickly as possible. This board needs to abandon influence from others who consider themselves as leaders, third-party middlemen who are acting as mediums of false information. By adding more middlemen to the negotiation table, you're hindering democracy and the people's input on everything that truly mattered to them. At the same time, you're giving these people more unnecessary authority and interference in the decision-making process. The solution to this problem is to assume your role, and that's what you should have done from the start. You chose not to assume your role, and instead you relied on people who have historically obstructed justice and now are keeping any amendments from being adopted. You've given faith to the middleman when it would have been more efficient had you relied on your own realizations and your research to make your own decisions. It's not just five CSD directors voting on legislation. There are more people who are controlling the legislation, and their self-appointed powers have become apparent in the wake of AB 2701 legislation. Let's make this very clear. AB 2701 is a bill that unforgivably legitimizes the anguish and suffering caused by the cease and desist orders. And what makes matters worse, the bill is based on the same false information pursuant to the Regional Water Board's baseless claims of widespread septic pollution. This legislation doesn't protect any of our assets, doesn't protect the Tri-W site whatsoever.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You have another minute. I apologize.
Okay.
Morro Bay and a property owner in Los Osos. And I guess the conversation about who the stakeholders are is a really good question. I had to really take a lot of offense at the statement in your letter to regarding this issue that said our citizens feel like their voices are heard and respected by the district board. In fact, the last district board meeting that I attended, the president of the board and the person in charge of keeping order in here publicly ridiculed at least two speakers for the opinions that they took time out of their day to come here and present. I wrote a letter to that effect indicating that I felt like the board was not providing an environment in which everybody's opinion was heard and that they felt safe in doing so. And I know for a fact that a number of people have asked staff and the board to provide deputies to be here because a lot of people just don't want to come here and be subject to the level of harassment that occurs here on a regular basis. I am a stakeholder, but I don't feel like I'm represented. I'm not represented by you or either of the state board or regional board, Taxpayers Watch, Sierra Club. I'm a property owner. I've come here on several occasions to ask you to poll the property owners and ask what they want. I wrote you a letter and volunteered to put together such a poll and do that for you so that you would know what the property owners want. We're paying for it. I'm paying for 1/5,000th of this meeting. I'm paying for 1/5,000th of your salary. everybody else is here too. And the debt that you've incurred in the last 10 months is costing me my 1/5,000th share is approximately $6,000, as is everybody else's share who owns property in this community. I am here to ask you to support this bill. I really cannot support the language that you have proposed to find a site that's not in close proximity to town. That's a growth-inducing impact. We don't want to see this community to be 30 or 40,000 people, which is exactly what will happen if it's out of town. So I would urge you to support this legislation. It's going to get your behinds out of a sling, and it'll help us move forward with the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir.
I am Pat Ryan, property owner in Los Osos. I support AB 2701, particularly if it is the fastest way to transfer the project to the county. And the quicker that we can get going on solving our water problem, the better. So if this legislation does that, then support it. And based on what I could tell from reading it, it does. So I support AB 2701. Please support it. Don't falter in that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Renshaw?
Pat Renshaw, Los Osos. I had a question on the one, two, three, four, five, six, the sixth whereas on the second page. The board has held C clause, then we should have more time on this to actually come up with real language and real proposals for them to add into this. Okay, thank you.
Madam President?
Mr. Ostad.
If I can respond to that comment, just because the urgency clause is taken out, all that means is that the bill does not become effective immediately upon signing by the governor. It does not give more time to negotiate or to change the terms of the bill. It's the urgency clause is when it becomes effective, either immediately upon signing by the governor, if the urgency clause is in there, or the 1st of January if it's not.
And then, Ms. Renshaw, just a quick response to your question about that whereas it says the bill was introduced, and we didn't introduce the bill as soon as we got it. And then we took all everybody's suggestions and amendments to the negotiations. So that's how I read that paragraph. But if you see further for clarification, let me know. Okay. Mr. Moreland.
Hi. My name is Bill Moreland, and I'm glad to be here. Glad to see you guys are working hard. There's a lot to still be worked out. And I support AB 2701 with the proviso that at least one of us, either a member of the CSD or a member of the community that the CSD selects, actually gets to work on the bill as well. And at least sit down with the politicians while they're hammering out the fine details of this. That way we would know what's going on while it's being finally amended. If that's a possibility, I'll volunteer my time if no one else can go and sit down with these people. At least we'd get somebody with their ear to the wheel, you might say. Is there a possibility that can happen?
You just keep completing your comments, and then I'll answer. Okay, I've noted it.
That would be how I would wrap this up, is just the question that, is there a possibility that one of the CSD directors and or a member of the Los Osos community can actually sit down with Blakeslee and the politicians while they're finalizing this AB 2701 so they can throw in their two cents, whether it has any weight or not, I don't know. But is there a possibility that can happen?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Moreland. I sure will ask. I don't know the answer to that. Ms. Walsh.
Jerry Walsh. Just a quick comment on a previous speaker saying that if a sewer is built out of town, we'll have 30 or 40,000 homes built. Completely false. We're in a water 3 severity, and we're not going to have building regardless of whether a sewer is built out of town or not. I urge you not to vote for this legislation. There's been a lot of backdoor negotiations going on. The letter from the Department of Public Works even refers to that. The legislation will be reviewed by several individuals, associations, and other organizations. They're not describing who these individuals are, who these organizations are, and they certainly don't have the vote that you do directly. You're elected by us. You are the ones they should be negotiating with. And without a cap on spending, without all of the things that Sam Blakesley is talking about in his proposals to amendments, this legislation is going to just sell us down the drain. And I urge you to listen to your lawyer in the fact that it's not on the table in writing. It's not there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sparks.
Joe Sparks. I'm going to work backwards. You have to make a decision fairly quickly. And as you discuss this tonight, if you're not going to support this legislation, if you're not going to support giving this project to the county, you have to disclose to the homeowners, the stakeholders in this town, what your financial plan is. You don't even have a budget yet. So keep that in mind. I want to hear it tonight if you're not going to support getting this project going with the county. The resolution, what I would suggest is where it says Exhibit A, you just strike that out, and you say all amendments as outlined by the 27th July letter from Assemblyman Blakesley, and if you want to amend it further to have the final legislation come back to you. So you don't have to spend your attorney's time, wait till the legislative council does their work, and you see it. Stop fiddling around with crossing tonight. Let's get the show on the road. Also in your resolution, there are a number of errors, which I'm going to point out to you. It's just too wordy. First of all, paragraph 2, septic tank discharge into the upper aquifer, not lower aquifer. In the fore, whereas it says, I'm going to the second part, to adopt an initiative measure that would assure relocation of the facility away from the Tri-W site and on. That's not true. The initiative did no such thing. It did not assure any relocation. Listen to your attorney. He said the language. Remember Measure B? Specific language. And Julie Biggs in September specifically said Measure B could indefinitely reject a project. So it's an outright lie on your fourth whereas. The second item on the Ripley report, you need to delete that right now. It's not completed, and it doesn't describe these things that you're saying it does yet. I'm on the wastewater committee. You're making inferences that the report's not, it's premature. You don't have the report. You can't state these things because they're not technically true yet. You're looking at me confused. Show me the Ripley report complete, okay? It's not there. Again, you need to support this legislation, I think, and if you don't, you need to tell the stakeholders how you're going to get a project complete. Tell the CDO recipients, the future CDO recipients. Thank you.
Who else would like to speak? Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. We talked about time, how we're stuck for time. I do remember at least over a week went by before this board presented this legislation to the public. So this talk about what was just rushed upon us, I think the reason it was rushed upon us because certain people had decided to go on vacation and stand down. That was wrong. And we'd be a week ahead. I do support the amendments. I saw how these amendments came up because it took deal killers out of it. These amendments make sure that this thing doesn't die on the floor, and there's no substitute if this thing dies on the floor before it even gets voted on. Somebody said, well, you guys need to decide right now. Well, you don't need to decide right now. I at first said you need to either say you support this bill or you don't. But since Sam Blakesley said he supports these amendments, let's see the devil's in the details. Let's see what the details are. So if you're going to pass any resolution tonight, have it worded to with amendments. because that's the only way it's acceptable to me. Now, the CEQA part in there, that is a big deal. Because if the county gets this and then tries to circumvent CEQA, as everybody else has tried to do in the last 6 years, except for this board, they're going to run into the same problems, same litigation, same authority problems. CEQA is the cornerstone of what happens here with our septic systems. CEQA is the guidelines. If you try to circumvent the guidelines, the county's going to find out. Well, they're going to run into the same brick wall they ran into before, and previous boards have too. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Calhoun?
Ann Calhoun, Los Osos. I guess I'm one of the stakeholders. I had met with Sam Blakesley and gave him an earful, so I'm, I guess, one of those. I should put myself on the list. It sounds to me, in reading this and watching the way the thing, and it was worried, and they are running against a deadline, but it sounds the way this thing was set up. You had input. The citizens had their critical questions and amendments, and it looks like if Blakesley is going to insert those amendments, the key things that you were concerned with have been agreed to, and he's going to go ahead and put them in. I believe other people in Sacramento further up the line can add other odd things, so this is not a completed bill. Other things could appear from other people at some point, so it's not locked in stone. But it appears to be that you have gotten a great deal of what you asked for will be incorporated in this, and I see this as a way forward and a way through. And one thing that I keep asking myself, people are very concerned about, you know, what's going to happen and getting everything locked in stone, but that's impossible. The alternatives have to, people in this community have to think about the alternatives. What is the alternative to this failure? What else is in place that can be move us forward? Also, think about all the stakeholders. Does the CSD want a failed project? Do the citizens want a failed project? Does the county want a failed project? Does the regional board and the state want, you know, want failed projects? I don't think any of these stakeholders want another failed project and more millions wasted. So there's a real tremendous push to end up with something that's win-win. And I see this as a way to get there. So it seems like you've had your concerns addressed, certainly, along with everyone else's, and it looks like that should do it. So thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Calhoun. You had another minute.
This will make half of the audience laugh, but I agree with Mr. Sparks, who stated that it, I believe these weren't his words, but it's premature to enshrine the Ripley Report as being like this, the tablets that you found on the mountain over here and brought down to lead this community out of the wilderness. That bothers me, and I also think that if this were to lead to a 218 vote, that the many of the people I know would have trouble giving an affirmative 218 vote to something that advances the Ripley Report as the basis for their vote at this point. If the vote were to happen prematurely, we don't know anything about the Ripley Report except what we've seen on a few card charts and some PowerPoint presentations. I think we're waiting for a lot more information. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Who else would like to speak? Mr. Hunter?
Jack Hunter, Los Osos. This is a slight, I guess I want to say this. I know I've talked to each of you individually over time, and you recognize this, and I would like to share with others here. There is an overriding concern to all this. I think we'll reach some accommodation with the legislation, hopefully. The amendments will be accepted by Blakesley and move into legislation. But the larger picture is this. We are undergoing climate change. And it's not going to be just 5 more degrees each summer. It's going to be extremes of weather. Some years will get zero precipitation. Other years it may get 100 inches. So whatever we do in the way of solving our groundwater problems, we have to take into consideration that things are not going to be the way they are now, and we have to plan for that. Today, NOAA released a report saying that the oceans of the world are absorbing all the carbon dioxide they possibly can, and the upper layers are now turning to carbonic acid, which is killing the plankton. One more indicator that we cannot turn back from the future. Unless we want Los Osos to end up a collection of unconnected sewer connections with no one able to live here because we're out of water and we're out of everything, we need to take all this into consideration. We need the county. We need to move on, push the county into giving us a project that is sustainable and has tremendously low energy consumption, because the way that our government is going to come to grips with this is to raise the cost of energy to the point where people will be forced to cut it down to virtually nothing. And we need a plant that will do that, too. Thank you.
Ms. Hedges? Speak.
Sandy Hedges, Los Osos. I've been on the phone the last couple days myself talking to John Decker, and I believe in a sustainable system. I agree with the last speaker, and I think that I also told him, and we talked about it, I thought Los Osos could be a forerunner for San Luis County, that we could have all our stuff right here, and that Morro Bay needs a sewer, San Luis is going to need a sewer, that I feel the true people of Los Osos has not had a word. So I hope it works. I'll be talking to him again to see if he got it. Thank you.
Who else would like to speak? Okay, Mr. Acilio.
Evening. My name is Frank Acilio, a resident of Los Osos. I'd like to support your legal counsel in being real specific in anything that you agree to tonight, because you're now putting it in writing and it will be in stone. Now, what I don't understand, first of all, on the resolution is the reason for supporting this. I mean, you say you support the AB 207 and all the amendments shown, and that you and you urge the governor to support it. Now, I think that's jumping the gun. Usually people don't ask people to support something until it goes through final committee, and it needs to go through the Senate Appropriations Committee, where it can be amended, which we don't know what will happen there, because many of us have put input into Mr. Decker, who's the consultant, who doesn't say he's going to support or not support the bill, but he's going to write what he understands the impact is on the state with this bill. So I urge you to take that part out about the governor to support that, because it still also then has to go to the Senate floor, which it could be amended on the Senate floor also, and then go back to the Assembly for concurrence, which it could be amended at that point. The other issues is that in the statement, your Exhibit A, there it talks about working with the community several places, close working relationship. Well, if there's going to be a close working relationship, then I think that to add interagency agreement, I think you should get that in the bill, that there is going to be one and that you will support that. I've had experience through many years with state, and I find that if you don't have it in writing, it's not clear, somebody's going to come along and say, you know, we don't have to do that. The other issue I've had concern about the 218 vote is the technology that's going to be used when I vote, the cost, the approximate cost, and the work and the site that they plan to place this on. I don't want to vote like I did last time. I have a copy of my ballot last time, and it just says that I vote for a wastewater system, and then it was changed on me. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak on this item? Mr. Barrow, or would you like to speak?
I agree with Frank. I agree with Mrs. A list of about 14 points or 16 points that I wanted to, I don't think I'll have time to do that. I'll try it in the 1 minute which comes later. Is that right? But I really believe that you cannot make a resolution about something when you don't know what it is yet. And as Frank said, it will change. So I think, I don't think you have to make a resolution tonight. I think you would be signing a prenuptial agreement. And the last time you did that, you were quoted in the newspaper, you were quoted everywhere down the list. This is what they said. You swore that you were polluting without the evidence that we need. We don't have a septic tank management program. We haven't checked all the septic tanks yet. We don't know what they're like. So you only got it 3:30. We got it 20 minutes ago. It's pretty tough to evaluate something this important with so little time. I saw people lining up the table. It was almost like they were fighting for the document. They were so anxious to be able to see it. A couple of notes. They didn't add NEPA in the language. They didn't say they were going to try to add NEPA. They said CEQA, but not NEPA. There's a big difference between not having NEPA and having it, a huge difference. Why did the county build 1,000 homes after the prohibition zone, after the prohibition was created? I don't understand that. I don't understand why the county permitted all these septic systems that were engineered and designed, and all of a sudden now they're saying they're not any good. And we haven't even had a septic management program. Nobody's inspected them. If we have a step stake, we have to have that prior to that. We haven't had that yet. There's a lot of things that we need to do. And for somebody to tell you that you don't have time to do them is just flat wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow.
You're welcome.
Who else would like to speak? Mr. Payne's coming.
Good evening, Madam President, board, staff, people here and at home. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of Los Osos, and I am definitely against this bill. Number one, I stood at a podium and talked to the old board many times, and I watched 3-2 votes come after we got people in power that listened to what we had to say. We had a recall. We only needed less than 30 days. We had a lawsuit, a 218, no 218 vote. The most important part of that lawsuit was the restraining order that should have been granted, because by case law, any time irreparable damage will be done, there is a temporary restraining order granted, which is always for 90 days to find out if it's legal to have this project without a 218 vote or not. We should have had that 1945, and then it's crossed out relating to San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, and in italics relating to San Luis Obispo County. I asked Christine, what's her name, about that, and she said it's already law. But if you will go in your numbered pages, numbered sentences, lines, to page 11, and you will find out that section 1 is amended. It's now called section 3, and it goes on and on. Section 5 is amended. This I will read real fast. Section 5 of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Act, Chapter 1294 of the Statutes of 1945, as amended to read by Chapter 584, the Statutes of 1975, is again amended to read Section 5. This is another amendment on that bill that's supposedly already law. And if you read that, this gives the county the right to own a corporation, which has the right to levy taxes, to acquire by any means that's got a dozen different means they can acquire it. Water and water rights.
Thank you,
this
Mr. Payne.
This means that you could
Thank
have...
Thank you for respecting our rule tonight. You're going to get another chance to speak for a minute. Thank you.
Can I just finish that sentence?
I asked very politely for everyone to do this. You can come up and talk to us later. Who else would like to speak? We're all sticking to the same rules. We're all being treated fairly tonight. Mr. Cooper.
Bo Cooper, Los Osos. I'm unclear about how you all can sign off on a bill that you don't know what the bill is actually saying right now. There are changes, there are proposed changes. I'm not clear on what resolution you can make. You can cut and paste things and sign off on that. But there's no bill to sign off on except the bill that's out there already, which we all agree needs to be amended. So unless there's a Julie Biggs's redlined amendment to the bill. Those are amendments, I think, that are acceptable to myself. And if you want to pass a resolution saying we agree to this redline copy and only this redline copy, anything else we no longer agree to until we negotiate again. You need to know what you're agreeing to, and unless it's something concrete, it's spooky. It scares me that you think about signing off on something that you don't know what it is. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense. Again, if you're going to sign off on something in particular. The only particular thing you have right now that you want to present is Julie Biggs's red line copy, which I think has a lot of amendments that, again, I can agree with. But just to sign off on the... on something that's not solid is just, again, spooky. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Mr. Tarnowski.
Lou Tarnowski, Los Osos. I must admit I'm sort of conflicted in how I feel about this. I don't agree with the comments that you can't sign off on something that's not specific. Something will move forward. Good luck.
Ms. Kulasa?
Hi. I do support this. I feel that...
Would you like to state your name for the record?
Oh, right,
you don't
Kulasa.
Have to, but you can.
We've made a lot of progress on it. It's improving. And you don't know exactly what you're going to get at the end. But without it, we have nothing. Because the Water Board is holding all the cards. And this bill is the only way that we are going to have the power to build the type of system that we want. I mean, if you look throughout California, water districts are coming together so they have the power to fight the boards and get what they want. The Water Board will negotiate with those people that have the power. A little CSD does not have the power. When the CSD joins up with the county and with the assemblymen, all of a sudden, there is some power, and you guys have the ability to negotiate. You can get what we need here. I believe in you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. McPherson?
Good evening, board, staff, and community. Before you have a resolution, and I'm not quite sure why we have that at this point. I know that you are supposed to be giving some sort of a heads up to Assemblyman Blakesley so that his efforts to come up with a solution to some of the amendment issues, that he says, okay, it's worth going forward and having somebody take the time to write up our concerns into actual legislative language. I think that it is premature to have a resolution passed, but it is certainly not premature to have you say a thumbs up on the concept of the amendments and the legislation. The legislation is a path to a project. You may have some other paths. I've been asking for those paths for over 6 months now. I can't get them out of anybody. All I hear is dissolution out of one side, bankruptcy, exploring bankruptcy on another. Bankruptcy is not exclusive from legislation. In fact, if the focus is a project, this is the way to get there. If you look at bankruptcy, well, you don't get a project. It's very. If there is an answer there, I'd sure like to hear it because I'm still waiting. And I side with Joe Sparks on this. And God forbid we don't agree on very much. But you know what? The fact is that I want to hear Plan B for anybody who says no to legislation, because if you can't come up with that, then all you are is a no. You're not a solution. You're the problem. So I think that's very, very justified. Second, the biggest concern here, and nobody's even mentioned it, is Tri-W. John had the guts to say, yeah, I asked the county about buying it. Well, get it off the table some way if that's what you have to do. Pass an ordinance. You have that option. You can do the overriding considerations. Do it. Do it. Do it on the 3rd. Pack that agenda. And take away that fear. I have another thing here real quick. The question, who are the stakeholders? If you want to know who's making the decision, ask that question. The stakeholders are 200,000 people in the county who don't want to pick up our bill. It's irresponsible, and personally, I think it's immoral to say that the county should pick up $40 million if that's the real number.
McPherson, who else would like to speak, please? I'd like to hear from more people, please. I'd like to hear everybody speak tonight. There's a lot of people in the room. Need to hear from you. Ms. Cooper.
Howdy, howdy. Let's see. Where to begin? Some speakers have talked about, I like that having, well, I liked Biggs's amended copy. I thought that was really good. In fact, I was a little confused, so I was looking over it. I thought that's what you were doing a resolution on. I liked the idea of having the interagency agreement included. I think your legal counsel is correct that whatever's written in legislation is what people will follow. And also, the other thing is that it's good to have something in legislation that you can live with, because we don't know who's going to be on this CSD board. There's an election coming up, and also a Board of Supervisors election. And I kind of want to back up, too, because we only have Blakeslee's piece of paper here to deal with, his letter. I perhaps I'm slow, but I'm not clear on his cost mitigation, that section. I'm not clear on his Prop 218 clarifications, you know, what order he's doing things in. And I'm not clear on the due diligence order. And what I'd like to do, and also on this last thing, well, he has at their discretion, the due diligence thing. And also at the last thing, the technical cleanup, where we assume full, I think we have full responsibility right now. I don't know if that's redundant. But my point is there's nothing about, I'm not sure if he's going to put what kind of affordability guarantees he's going to put in. And also if he's going to have as much information before the 218 vote. So if at the, not taking too long, but it would be nice, you outlined it, but it'd be nice if we could go over, you know, a little slower these sections. And then you could see if you like the direction he's going or not, because that's all you have to work with right now. So that's about it. And thank you.
Mr. Page.
Hi. Yeah, Steve Page. First, I want to thank you for the wonderful work you did on the letter to Mr. Decker. It's really a good letter, and it really covers a lot of ground that I'm sure he didn't have a chance to look at or would be paying attention to. And then I wanted to clarify something for myself with you. In the whereas, I guess it's whereas number 15, where you're actually talking about what you're agreeing to. What apparently you're agreeing to is AB 2701 conditioned by the amendments that are in Exhibit A. Is that correct?
That was the draft language that we're still going to discuss after all public comment.
Yeah. So, and I don't, you know, I think that that offers you a lot of protection against what the bill could end up being. So, because then the resolution would have covered what you had agreed to, not what was in the bill, what was in the final bill. Is that correct? So in that case, I would say go ahead and say yes to the resolution. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak on the bill? Would anyone else like to come up and speak on the bill or the resolution? Ms. Oaks?
I only wanted to say with the bill, I had called up to John Decker's office yesterday afternoon, and they told me we missed our opportunity to protest. We didn't know the wording, language in the legislation until just days before the local government committee vote. Some people knew, and they supported the legislation, but most of us in Los Osos didn't. And she told me clearly we missed our opportunity to protest. And that concerns me because obviously there were people that knew that talks were going on, the wording was being formed, and again, we were denied our right and time to protest. And I'm also concerned that this bill can even be changed by the author. It's pretty much a done deal. We give up everything. And again, nobody on either side of the fence is going to be able to afford this project. That's all.
Ms. Oaks, do you mind sharing who she was, since John Decker was the consultant?
I don't know. I called the office, and it was in his particular office. There's a couple of consultants.
Who else would like to speak? Would you? Please. Mm-hmm.
My name's Cheryl Dove. I live in Los Osos, but I do not live in the Prohibition Zone. However, I support the board's support of AB 2701. I see this as a sincere way to solve the problem of our community polluting the bay with our septic systems. I've lived here a long time. I know this has been a problem for many years. I commend this board for working with Assemblyman Sam Blakesley, and I strongly recommend supporting this bill in every way possible. And I feel that this is a way to an equitable solution to getting this sewer project going as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Who else would like to speak, please? Not quite yet. Let's make sure everybody else has got their three-minute time in. Mr. Margetson?
Richard Margetson. I first want to talk about the interagency agreement. If you can't get it in the resolution, I mean in the legislation, and the county said that they'll do it, but they won't put it in writing, why? Why isn't the county willing if they're so intent on helping us? That shouldn't be that big a deal for them to do a resolution that they agreed to do an interagency agreement with this community. This memo from Public Works, if you read it with a neutral viewpoint, it pretty much is telling us we're sticking by our 6 points that the Board of Supervisors adopted. I mean, that's what it basically says. The 218. Could we get some clarification after I'm done on when the assessments will actually start showing up on the tax rolls? It's just so we can compare that to how it would have been under the other project, because the other project was set up a different way. I agree that anything that you want needs to be in writing with somebody's signature on it, because we know from past experience how the county's treated us, that if it's not in writing and they don't want to do it or they can't afford to do it, we're not getting it. Is that three? I got one more minute. That's it for now.
If anybody has a copy of the June 19th staff report, I'm still looking for it. I thought that's where the interagency was written out, but I'm not sure it is, so I'm still checking. If anyone else could help me find that, that'd be great. And I also put it in our resolution to confirm our conversations somewhere in writing that this is what they intend to do. And I have them looking at me in the eye and telling me that that's, of course, what we're going to do and that it takes time, and they want to get going right away. But I'm just passing on what I've been told, so... It's just verbal. I'm looking at the, again, I need someone to do this work for me since I'm running the comments about the June 19th staff report. It should be in there, but that this is what the board adopted. Could you read it, Mr. Fiché? Oh, he's still looking. Okay, he's looking in there. So we'll continue on, but I want to look that up. So that's a good question. And the in response to the question about when the assessments would show up on the tax rolls, I'm just reading from my notes from Christine, and it says that once the board adopts a resolution to take authority for the project, then the assessments would come on. That would be a 218 approval, then a resolution by the board that they're going to take the project, which they don't have to, after their due diligence period. So that is what she told me. All right. So who else would like to speak on the bill who hasn't spoken yet? A three-minute comment? Oh, Ms. Watson.
Hello, Elaine Watson, Los Osos. Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay. I, too, suggest that you wait for some final language before voting for the resolution. I think it's just in our interest to be careful about this again. There are several good points that previous speakers have made, including Jack Hunter's points should be heard. Those are critical issues that we're going to be facing. We don't even really know what they are yet, but we need to be thinking ahead. And I'm hoping that when the county and everyone comes together to decide on a project, that they do take those, they do have the forethought to look into what the future might hold for us. There's a lot of talk about this interagency agreement. I'm not really sure what that means exactly. I know that some things that can't be included in the bill are later worked out in the interagency agreement, and I'd like some understanding of what that actually includes. And the issue that somebody brought up about the inclusion of NEPA is also good. That's a higher standard. And also in the last paragraph in the resolution, you state that the district wishes to express its support for AB 2701 conditioned on inclusion in the final bill amendments that have been proposed as set forth in Exhibit A, the provisions of which are incorporated into this resolution by reference. That's also that's a good point, too. I like that, to hold on to the... to all of the resolutions that the community has come forward with. There's some important things in there, too. And I appreciate that this has gotten as far as it has in the process. This is really good news. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Miller, would you like to speak?
Good evening. Sylvia Neller from Quest to By the Sea. I haven't had a chance to read this tonight. I've just read a few sentences, and this bill, if enacted, would transfer authority. It doesn't say work with. It says transfer authority. This does not have my vote. I urge you not to sign anything out of fear. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm encouraging you to not do anything ever that you know is not the right thing to do because of fear. That's as basic as I know how to live my life in anything.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Yes. Mm-hmm. Please come up. Yes. Come on, I can't remember.
Good evening, board.
Breathe, Kathy. I'm just so asleep. Go ahead.
I think it'd be a really good idea if you could take this resolution and turn it into a major class action lawsuit.
Thank you. Ms. Golden.
I'm speaking very reluctantly because I'm a quick study about material that comes before me that has legal implications. However, I couldn't study this with the speed required, and I don't think anybody on the board can either. Nor the various people who have spoken, both pro and con on it. It appears to me that 2701, as it is currently written, even with the redlined copy that I have, which I understand to be exhibit or attachment A, is seriously flawed. The interagency agreement, for example, while the legislation may not be able to tell you the terms of an interagency agreement, I don't know that there's any prohibition from requiring that there be an interagency agreement between, very specifically, the county and Los Osos. Not some other group of citizens. The legislation as currently written and as Mr. Blakeslee has said he would try to have legislative counsel discuss, do something with respect to the implication of the term violations, still makes findings that the septic tanks in Los Osos are polluting, and that does two things. It sets in concrete the non-existent, unsubstantiated findings that have been argued for years. And it does another thing. It permits the inclusion of the non-prohibition zone residences in the sewer project and therefore imports to those who have never been found or even discussed as being in violation, whether in reality they are or not, whether or not they're polluting. It imports findings of pollution, if they're included, against those entities. So while I support the process and the notion of the legislation, and I think this board should, I think the resolution should end with the idea that you endorse 2701 and its amendments, period. Because if it's amended, changed, not inclusive, it ought not to be supported any further.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Would anyone else like to speak at this time for the 3-minute time? Okay, I'm closing public comment on this, and I'm going to bring it back to the board before we ask for a second round of speak. Let's take a break. 10 minutes, please. I need to wait for, I have a quorum, but I'm going to wait just a second more. Hey there. Hello. Hey, Steve. Director Director Sennett? Okay, I have one. First, we're bringing it back to the board before we have the one-minute comments. And I'd like to see if any board members have... First, before we have board member questions and comments, I'd like analysis from staff. Any comments on what about what we've heard or anything? Is there any comments you'd like to make? Because I haven't asked you yet.
I don't have any comments, but I'm not sure we've kind of gleaned some of the things from the citizens and the speakers that may and have some suggestions later on based upon what the board may want to discuss right now amongst themselves. I think we'd probably be best if we waited until we were after that portion of the meeting.
Okay. How about from the board? Any questions or concerns that you want to bring up now? Comments? Director Tacker?
I'll ask if Mr. Onstott gleaned anything.
I gleaned a lot, but I'll withhold any comments I have till the end when we go through the mechanics of this.
Okay. Director Sennett?
I'd like to glean. I just wanted to ask, are we going to public comment after we discuss it, and then it will come back to the board and we'll discuss it further? I guess I'll reserve my gleaning for later.
Okay. I have an announcement to make and a clarification. I thought that we needed a full resolution to pass tonight, that's what Mr. Blakeslee was asking for support of the bill. And we have clarification. We just called Ms. Robertson, and all they want is a vote of support. So the resolution... even though it was detailed and worked out, we may or may not need it. And we need to discuss that as a board if we want one. We can still do one. We can do it either way. But what they're asking for is just a vote of support. So just wanted to pass that along, too. And Director Sennett.
Wouldn't we have to have a motion of some sort to support and then culminate into a resolution? Wouldn't we have to vote on...
Mr. Onstott.
For the board to take action, even if it's just a motion to support, it requires a majority vote, but that does not necessarily have to result or be memorialized in a resolution. You can do a voice vote and not have a resolution, or you can do a resolution and not have a approve a motion to support.
Question.
I'm still a little bit confused. We're voting to support a motion. Then, right?
You have to make the motion.
Mr. Onstott?
If somebody makes a motion and it's seconded to support the bill or whatever the wording of the motion is, that motion would carry by a majority vote of the directors. It does not mean a resolution. If somebody was to propose a resolution and move that it be adopted by the board, and if it's seconded, a majority of the board then can adopt a resolution.
I'm just concerned that the vote of support of the bill might leave many many unsaid things that would lead to people just interpreting it in a million different ways, including the Senate committees. So I'd just like to know how the vote would be used if we directed toward to address only Assemblyman Blakeslee's continuance of negotiations and drafting amendments and things like that. I could go with that.
Okay. Director Tacker and then Vice President Fouché. Director Tacker, did you have
I think Director Sennett is asking the same question, just exactly what
would we be supporting? And but that would come forth in the in whoever makes whatever motion.
Okay, Vice President.
And I would just add that I'll read the last sentence in Mr. Blakesley's letter. I respectfully ask your board to vote in support of this bill as amended. Seems to me that would be the motion.
Okay, Mr. Bleski?
Just an observation from some of the public comments. I would only offer that it would be to go on Director or Vice President Fichet's comment is that it would be to support the bill with the proposed amendments, with the amendments. Just for clarity's sake.
Would you repeat what you meant again? Please say it again.
That if there was a motion versus adopting this resolution, going off what Vice President Fichet said, would be to support the bill with the amendments, or specifically refer to the amendments that Assemblyman Blakesley.
Okay, Mr. President.
I agree.
Director Tacker?
Then I would, I mean, we're not there yet, but should we get there and want to hear from you all, something you said, Mr. Onstad, about reserving the right to object at the final language.
Because that would be out of even Mr. Blakesley's hands. The final amendments, the final bill will... None of us know what that's going to be. That's why it's difficult for me to... It's just difficult to accept a bill that when you don't know what the amendments are, and that's what the legislative process is. So trying to figure it out, how to do that correctly so it makes sense and do what Mr. Blakesley wants to help him.
I would help him.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd find that just fine, but I would also include something more open-ended that we further support any future amendments that may arise or be proposed that we like.
That's a little open-ended. any at all. See how tough it gets? It gets tough, yeah.
Any amendments that we feel may be appropriate? Well,
do you want to try, Director Sasanian? No, we're all just thinking. Okay, we're still thinking. Before we have the next section of public comment, this is something important that I want you to help me with, because you can use your own minute, whatever what you want. Or, you know, if you want 2 minutes, take 2 minutes, okay? But what I need to know is what many of the people in the audience asked. If we don't support this bill and going this way, what are our options? What are our choices? And I'll tell you what I know, because that's the trouble with this. I don't have all the future answers. I don't know how each scenario will play out, and neither do you. None of us do. We have bankruptcy on the table. We have dissolution on the table. And we have what else on the table? If you have other ideas for me, bring them forward. I'm not saying I haven't slept all week, okay? I mean, I'm not sleeping about this at all. There is no easy answer. Everybody has a role in what happened. The county has a role. The state has a role. The regional board has a role. We have a role. The old board has a role. The new board has a role. The citizens have a role. We all contributed to this. So what do you want us to do? What are your ideas and suggestions for scenarios? We in closed session, you know we're looking at all these things and we're bringing them to you. But we don't have like the final play in a bankruptcy or a dissolution, because it's beyond our control. It's in the control of many others. So we're trying to imagine what if the bill passes?
What if dissolution occurs? What if bankruptcy occurs? What if we get a chunk of money from a benevolent benefactor? You know, I mean, really, I mean, that, or do you have another idea that you can give me? I'm open for the idea. Just telling me, don't do this, but what? Tell me, but what? Don't do this, but what? This is an option that looks like we might get somewhere. We're gonna have to stay very involved, and we're gonna have to keep being involved and being active. But what else do you got? I'd love to hear it. And if you do, I'm all ears. So that's what I wanted to introduce the next section with. Mr. Barrow.
I'm ready to go. I've been ready to go for a long time, and I welcome this dialogue. And I'll tell you what, we should have had the impacts of this bill discussed long ago. We should have had it discussed back in October, the impacts of what was going on. The impacts are really important, and a lot of people don't realize the impacts. But a lot of these discussions have pointed out things like Mr. Blesky has said. Number one, if you go into bankruptcy, you can have a turnkey project done, somebody bringing their own financing in. You don't go to somebody else's table to make those decisions. You make them right here at the CSD. I don't want to drive to the county for my public comment. We're not going to have the same opportunities that we have here with our own district. So bankruptcy is not all that bad. I have to disagree with Mrs. McPherson. I have heard a number of offers that are on the back burner from various companies that would be happy to come here and implement the project of your choosing. And I'm sure Mr. Blesky is familiar with the turnkey approach. Am I right? So we know that there are people out here. What bankruptcy does is it protects your assets. It protects you from creditors, and it gives you some breathing room. It gives you time to do the right thing. So that's my view on bankruptcy. That's my minute on bankruptcy. Now, I'd like to take my minute on something else, if I can get the thing up here and running. Several things. What happens to the $30 million or whatever the debt is that's the embedded debt for the contractors, for the fines, for the loan, what have you? Nobody has said anything about what happens to it. It's just going to sit over there on Tri-W and we're going to watch it or something? Somebody's going to ask us for money. How are we going to get that money? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Onstuck, do you have any reply on that?
Hey, here's one for you.
What happens to our debt, the LOSOS CSD debt?
Under what scenario?
Under a bankruptcy scenario or a dissolution scenario or a legislation scenario?
Well, under the dissolution scenario, the debts go to the County of San Luis Obispo. Under the bankruptcy scenario, the debts are put into a reorganization plan to the extent possible to pay off as many creditors to the extent possible. And I have not looked or analyzed at what would happen to the debts under the proposed legislation.
Okay. They remain with the district. But what that means or how they're resolved is still unknown. And that's what I mean about saying we don't have all the answers to the playing them out further along because there's a lot of people involved that it's future. So, Mr. Arcini.
All right, let me see if I can help you a little bit. First of all, you need a lawyer who knows something about bankruptcy for municipalities. I mean, he really has to know what he's doing there. It's just not right off the top of your head. Bankruptcy usually is a situation which is to be avoided at all cost for the taxpayers. It's a long process, and it's going to cost them a lot of money. Basically, what you'll do is you'll just continue on the way you are, but you're going to have somebody in there controlling the dollars. In order to get out of bankruptcy, in order to file bankruptcy, you're going to have a 218 vote to be able to eliminate the debts. That's what it comes down to, according to my reading of the law. I don't think anybody's going to vote for that. Now, you got a bunch of choices. You got bankruptcy, which is not so good. You got
just continue right along. You can't be forced into bankruptcy. You just don't pay your bills. That's another aspect to it. But in the meantime, neither of these are going to get you be able to build a sewer system. It just isn't going to happen. I don't think under any circumstances you're going to be able to build a sewer system as an LOCSD. So the other thing is that you have the question of stakeholders and property owners. The district was founded by property owners. The property owners are responsible for the district. In order to limit liability to the property owners, the best thing you can do is say, hey, look, the county screwed this up to start out with. We're going to dissolve ourselves immediately. Let the county handle it. Looks like the county's going to handle it anyhow. And then the last aspect on this whole thing is, you can petition LASCO to dissolve, and they may say no. You could resign as a board of directors, period, and they'll just stick somebody else in. You know, they'll pick them out. It's just a really terrible situation that's going to take somebody who really knows about this to give you the proper advice. And I can't really, I can touch on it, but I can't give you exact advice. But tonight, I want to compliment you. I want to compliment you. This is the thank you very much, Lisa, for addressing this.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak?
Well, 1 minute is certainly not enough time to address. Oh, 2 minutes. It's certainly not. I'll still say it. It's not enough time to address something as serious as what we're talking about. My house is decorated, of course, with flow charts and risk analysis. And one of the things that I passed on to you guys to play with is one of those risk analysis. And it just has all the different options that are possible and then what gets us to a project. And that's really different than what keeps us with local control. I want you to separate two issues. One, get us a project, and two, keep local control. Because with local control, you can do your own affordability study and do a unique one that EPA signs off on. And then you can set your rates as you take back your project. That's really important to the people of the community for affordability. And I have lots of great ideas. I'd like to do a workshop with you and put that out there. Bankruptcy under Chapter 9 is very different than typical bankruptcy. You control your plan. One of my problems is that your attorney is going to be your creditor, and I don't think that's the right attorney to be handling the bankruptcy. And so I think you do need a bankruptcy attorney. Chapter 9 is very different also for other reasons, and I think you need to have a workshop on what the options are. Bankruptcy, I was misquoted by Mr. Barrow one more time. Bankruptcy is not mutually exclusive. You can do a bankruptcy protection under Chapter 9 and keep local control and do an affordability study and do some of these things that we need, like septic management. You can do all of that and do the legislation. You can do both. And that's really the best option. Because if you do that, you show responsibility. The 218 vote is going to have to happen. And it's going. And who can pass that? Is it the CSD on its own with the pressures that they have while they're trying to get funding and sue the state at the same time? This is an insulation between the claims that you need so badly to win, especially against Montgomery Watts and Harza, and getting a project funded. And so I think that you have a perfect situation. And if you want to get together and hear the plan, I'm happy and available. One last comment. I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
I can't tell with the timer, Mrs. Vega, what's going on. I'm not being a good monitor because I'm... Was that 2 minutes? There's no red light going?
There is a red light. There's no yellow light.
Oh, okay. Goes right to red. Okay, Mr. Dugan. Sorry, bud.
Okay, on the bill. There was caveats you guys want to add to it. So you want to say yes to the process, but only if the amendments are included. Now, how you word that, I don't know. As the bill is written, I don't think you should hem yourselves in on, because later on down the line, as the bill is written, as it goes to be voted on, it may be a completely different scenario. So don't hem yourselves in. Add those caveats as the amendments suggested by Sam Blakesley. somewhere in there. It's got to be put, the wording, work it out. I agree with a lot of what Gail had to say. There's different avenues that you can use. There was a statement saying, well, it was the property owners that voted you guys in. Now, was it? Didn't the community as a whole vote for the CSD and not just property owners? Because they all have services and stuff involved too, not just property owners. But anyway, putting that aside, the people are not getting the message from the CSD. They read in the papers and they hear on the radios what's supposedly supposed to be happening, what the CSD is doing this or the water pollution that. We have an outreach problem. And I just want to make this statement, the fact that outreach has not met since, again, we didn't meet last week, and we're not going to meet this Friday either. That's a huge problem. We're not communicating to the public the facts. There's a problem. I'm on the outreach committee. We're not going to have a meeting tomorrow. I have a big problem with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Calhoun.
A couple of things come to mind. Sometimes you can lose a battle and win the war. And one thing in looking at the sewer project and the CSD and the whole thing, I kind of envision a woman pregnant with her baby, and that sewer project is the baby. And she's been shot and is dying, and now she has a choice. She can either die and the kid dies with her, or she can call for an emergency C-section, get that kid separated and hand it over to Uncle, Weird Uncle Daddy, and stay alive to oversee that kid's health and safety, and then hopefully get better and carry on. I think the Blakeslee bill allows an opportunity to get the kid out safely and then allows the CSD breathing room to survive long enough to live to fight another day. Otherwise, the other option I see is just both mother and baby die, and that's the end of it. So I'm hoping this resolution could be kind of vague enough to support it and open that door and allow that process to go on so that this project can go forward. And what I hear and sense from everybody is everybody wants a winning project. Everybody wants this thing to be successful. It's like enough failure. And so there's a tremendous push on the part of everybody to make sure that you end up with a win-win situation.
Thank you. Ms. Ricard?
Galen Ricard, Baywood Park. Speaking of analogies, I see this as an opportunity for a breakthrough or a breakdown. I see AB 2701 with the amendments as having being the best last chance of a breakthrough. It shows leadership of public servants and citizens. It shows responsible accommodations and responsible demands. It shows a willingness for problem solving that for the first time is not based on fear. It is based on the possibility of success. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Mr. Sparks.
Well, one option you could, it's probably pass, you can go and tell your staff to come back with assessments for Vista de Oro, Bay Ridge, Cabrillo. You can look at fee increases in water. You can go to the Prohibition Zone homeowners and ask them to fund all the fees you've been paying, plus more project reports just to get you to get your design going. But that process, you know, I don't think you can do that process now. That time is gone again. And I don't know that you'd even, given what's gone on, you'd even get the support for that, because you need that money. So then what are your options? I mean, unfortunately, I think you've got to be fairly decisive tonight. You know, bankruptcy is going to leave the stakeholders, the homeowners in this district, subject to enforcement action with no plan on the horizon. You don't want to put them in that position. Yeah, you cannot put them in that position. So you either got to support this legislation that gets the project going with the county, or if you're not going to do it, then I think you got to really look at supporting the dissolution on the hearing coming up. Or maybe resolve to transfer the project to the county. But you've got to give the stakeholders a path that gets them a project. And so I think you've got to support the letter that as Blakeslee asked for, and it's going to go through his legislative channel, and then you'll get another reading. But, you know, the destiny, you can't totally control that destiny. I mean, you took it on faith to pay Ripley $500,000, and you didn't know what the outcome's going to be. I mean, you seem to think you know what the outcome's going to be, but you really don't until they finish that project report. And that's going to be the biggest asset, in your view, that's going to go to the county. And you're not going to sell the county on that project report. You shouldn't be the ones to sell them. The people that are going to sell that to the board, regional board, and the county on its merits are going to be the engineers from Ripley. So I urge you to, you know, I think you need to be fairly decisive.
Thank you. Who else would like? Mr. Cilio?
Frank Cilio, resident of Los Osos. I'd like to thank the board and, you know, and even I'd like to thank Sam Blakeslee's office because I see there has been movement. I think there needs to be some more movement in the written into the bill, but it's movement in that direction, and I'm pleased to see that. I'd like to say, first of all, we probably won't see a copy of the bill probably to the day of the hearing, the final bill that will with all the amendments in it. Also, a copy of the consultant report won't come out for us until the day of the hearing. Now, Mr. Blakeslee will get a copy of that probably Friday before the hearing. So you may want to request that as soon as he receives a copy of the consultant's report, that if he would be willing to fax it to you. Also, I would ask him if, does he expect it to go in the suspense file? The day of the hearing, they'll say your bill's eligible for a suspense file. They may hear some testimony, about 2 seconds of it, and then say, okay, it's in a suspense file, which means it gets held for a certain period of time before it can come out. And I believe Mr. Blakeslee would have to write something up to say why it needs to come out or it's not going to cost the state money. So you might want to check with him on that. Also, I have a question that I asked last time about the, I believe there's money left in the bond fund or bonds or $2 million that haven't been sold yet. My question is that true? And if it's true, does that get transferred to the county or does that stay with the CSD? The other issue is that people can view the Appropriations Committee on June 26th of 06 on the website of www.calchannel, calchannel.com/archive.P as in Paul, H as in Henry, P as in Paul. And this drop down the menu to June and then click on and watch so people can see what an Appropriations Committee is all about. Thank you.
Mr. Blesky, would you answer the question about the bond?
We in fact do have approximately $2 million in bonds that were approved under the prior assessment vote that have not been sold.
And
can they be transferred?
Would they be transferred?
I'm not sure on that. Mm-hmm. I'd have to take a look at what the conditions on the bond were.
Well, they're taking the asset clause out of the bill. That's what he says. That's what the bill says. That was the biggest gain. I think that was the biggest one that I thought was the biggest one. That clause is being removed from the bill. And I'll just read it one more time. I clarified with this with Christine today. Also, to make sure I was getting that right. Ultimately, the county and the LLCSD will benefit from a close working relationship as they work to design and construct an acceptable project. In that spirit, we respect the county's position, as stated in their letter July 25th, that disposition of real property assets is best handled through interagency efforts. Therefore, my assembly office will instruct Ledge Council to strike from the bill reference to discretionary county authority to transfer LOCSD real property.
Is there any comments from staff on that? Does that sound like what it sounds like? Okay. All righty. Who else would like to speak? Anybody else? Mr. Cooper?
Bo Cooper. I've gone from spooked to shocked, I think. You guys are going to have a vote of support on something that you don't, that is too vague to support. Which amendments are we talking about? Are we talking about the amendments that he's talking about in his letter that he signed? Those are vague promises. Did the county say, well, we'll make some vague ideas that we'll support? Or they have 6 points and pages of what they were going to be behind? You guys don't know what you're going to support in any detail. You're going to give a support to something that, yes, it may change, but those are not sequiturs. Things may change in the past. Nobody's perfect, that kind of thing. They're non sequiturs. You don't know the answer to those kind of questions. They're a distraction. What's not a distraction is that you're going to support something that you have no clue where it's going. They're vague general principles, and it just won't work. There's virtually nothing about affordability in this. Again, that's one of my key issues. You need to have affordability really more specific than it has been. Lisa, you said you're looking for alternatives and ideas. We've been begging for workshops for months now. We've been begging for workshops so we could talk back and forth, so we could have real dialogue. I know from the citizens group we always make great progress because we really talk back and forth and discuss things and throw ideas around and say yes, no. There's not that dialogue here, and so you don't have that kind of answer that you need. You represent us, but you represent us as a voice, not as a final decision maker. And I don't feel like I've had enough opportunity for input because of the forum that we have. But I still love you. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for your input. That Brown Act gets in the way for us sometimes. I've heard your meetings are wonderful, actually, Mr. Cooper's meetings, Mrs. Cooper's meetings, and. The Brown Act's tough for us, and just because we're already having 3 board meetings a month and then committee meetings, and it's tough, but I do respect the comment. Who else would like to speak? Ms. Cooper.
Well, I guess I think some people in the audience, as well as President Schicker, were talking about, well, what's the alternatives besides this legislation? And I guess I really don't want to respond to that assumption because, yes, the legislation is there. You have to deal with it. But it can be amended. And I think you have more power than you know because the county doesn't want you to dissolve. They don't want to take your liabilities. They want this bill to go through. And so the taxpayers watch, and so do a lot of those kind of people. Hensley's up there lobbying pretty hard for this bill. He knows John Decker. So what I want to say is, per the letter from Gail Wilcox to Blakeslee's office on June 1st, she wanted some language for the state will assume conservatorship role. And that wasn't put in the legislation because that would have killed the bill because the state doesn't want the liability either. So your power is that the county doesn't want your liabilities. They want this bill. So you can, you know, demand some good amendments, some strong amendments that are going to protect our affordability. You don't have to just lay down and take it. I'm not going to go with that. I'm not saying... yes, if you don't support the bill the way it is, you're in for no project, or whatever people are saying in the audience. No, you can get the 218 vote in the right order. There is a right order for the 218 vote. You know the project, you know the total cost, you know the location, and then people vote on it. That's the right way to do it. The right way to do it, too, is to have your affordability. You know, where you know the cost of the project, you put that in the bill. There's EPA guidelines. If you're not making this a political thing, there's some good old-fashioned common sense things. So I just want to say you have more power than you think. So
thank
get
you.
The amendments the way you want them.
Okay.
Thank you. Because we are.
Okay. Mr. Mergensen?
Richard Margaretson. Where do you go if you don't approve this? Bankruptcy. Can you afford bankruptcy? I mean, can you afford the process of bankruptcy? Just the attorney's fees alone. You don't have a revenue stream to pay for these things. Just to get to a 218 in the bankruptcy proceeding, you don't have the resources. This solution, though, is not the solution for this. It's basically saying that this district cannot handle the departments that were put under its purview. And the revenue streams are there for the water department, the fire department, and solid waste. You can't have that. You can't have that defeatist attitude and support dissolution at any point, I believe. The bond question again, for probably the 50th time. There's $2.4 million. Have we gotten an answer yet? Has anybody gotten an answer from staff, from county, from anyone, from bond council, whether you can sell those, whether the county could guarantee them for the district if this legislation wasn't approved and the county won't take this over? Would the county consider guaranteeing the bonds for us to be able to sell them? I'm seeing no heads shaking yes or, oh, you're going to ask? Okay. And in the legislation, or in one of the staff reports, there was a talk about shared revenue stream from the county. I'd like some more clarification on that, because a 218 vote to establish fees for a service, you can only stretch the limits of what you can collect so far. You're not going to generate enough from that shared revenue from the county to do anything beyond what you're, you know, it's not going to be a fund that's going to help you cover the district's administrative function. Could we get some clarification on that?
And looks like your little red light's on.
That's fine.
Okay. First of all, the county said no so far on supporting our bond, but that may change. We could ask again.
Can they do it, though?
I don't know if they can do it. I'm going to ask Mr. Blesky on that. They did say no. That's all I know. Do you know more?
We haven't checked into that, but what we have is that there's a question that's arisen, or whatever it is, regarding the bond rating on the bonds that have yet to be sold. As you'll recall, this community, to get the highest bond rating, AAA, insured those bonds. And that provides a lot of advantages to both the CSD in its current situation as well as to the bondholders themselves. And what that insurance provides is that you can work, you've purchased the ability to miss a payment. It doesn't mean that the payment requirement goes away. It means that when the revenue stream is generated and the district gets better, then the bondholders are also insured adequately that they will eventually get paid back. Our current rating, I believe, is CCC. The question arises, what's the rating of the bonds that have on the first approval, because they're insured? We haven't been able to get that answered yet. Are those bonds insured? We believe they are. We don't have confirmation. The second question that naturally arises out of that is, if they're insured, what's the rating on those bonds? So we don't have that answer yet, but we're pursuing that. And if we get a positive answer, when we get an answer to that, we'll know which course of action we'll be able to take. But the insurance has provided benefit to both the CSD and the bondholders.
Okay. And then in finishing up, I just want to agree with Lacey. You do have a lot more power than you think, because the regional board, nor the state board, nor the county, nor the legislature, none of them are paying for this project. You have the hammer that this community is paying for this project, and they need to be reminded of that repeatedly. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President.
Yeah, I posed that question about the bonds to Pavo a long time ago, and I think I've said this before, and he indicated he didn't think that the county would be able to back the bonds. But but that's not a final answer either.
Banker?
Good evening. Stuart Danker from Los Osos. There seems to be an assumption here tonight that the only thing standing between the Blakeslee bill and the legislature is this resolution. Mr. Blakeslee is a very astute politician, but he is a junior member of the legislature. He's a Republican in a Democrat-controlled legislature. I think he needs all the help he can get to get the bill through. I don't have the measure of the bipartisan support he's been able to acquire, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. While I have supported AB 2701, it is not a sure thing, even if you show a five-vote plurality in favor of it. The other thing I'd like to say is that affordability keeps coming up, but affordability is like a mirage. It's a goal that shimmers in the desert that you struggle to get to, and it's never there when you get there. It's always going to be out of your reach. Affordability is only going to come through grants and aid later on. There's no way that we can assure ourselves that we'll have a sewer project that will, A, be cheaper than the Tri-W project or, you name it. You set a price. There's no assurance that we're going to get there. Thank you.
Anybody else like to speak this evening? Closing public comment, bringing it back to the board. Calling 1, 2, 3. Okay, no one's standing. Okay, thanks. Bringing it back to the board now. Okay, so we have a decision tonight, and we can take the complicated route of the resolution and working out some language, or we can take the simple route now that we have the clarification. And it says, I respectfully ask your board to vote in support of this bill as amended. We can make a motion and do it that way. What's the pleasure of the board or staff? Staff have any comments at this point? Okay. What does the board want to do?
I'd like to recommend that we just take a vote. I support this bill with the amendments. I think a simple vote of the board be the easiest thing to do, and that's what is required by Mr. Blakeslee.
Director Tacker?
I don't think we know what we're supporting. We've been asked to stand down, and I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stay in my chair, but I'm standing up. I'm a 35-year resident of Los Osos. I'm a property owner both inside and outside the prohibition zone. I've lived under the county rule nearly all my life. A couple months ago, LAFCO asked us options 1 and 2, A and B, whatever they called it. And our board refused divestiture of the project. And I was under the impression that we did not support divestiture of the project. And we told LAFCO, Mr. Blesky wrote a letter that said we would entertain a joint powers agreement. Now, I have some thoughts on the county. And my first thought, and this is aside from being a director, it's about being a citizen here for so long
and having seen how the county works. And the question is, what have you done for me lately? What has the county done for Los Osos lately? And that question goes back 35 years in my mind. If we're going to have an interagency agreement, I want it in the bill. I want it spelled out. And if we're going to have an interagency agreement, it needs to be legally binding and something that we've all digested, and the legal ramifications need to be very, very clear. And from what I understand from my colleagues on the board that happen to work in government and public works, interagency agreements may take 6 months. So what's the rush? Why do we need this legislation now? Why can't we hammer out an agreement and be back with some sort of legislation a year from now? This process is flawed because it's rushed. And I've been saying that for a couple of months. And here we are with a 24-hour meeting notice, special meeting. Poor Lisa has to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning working on language that now we don't even need. We don't even need it. We just need a motion. So I don't understand why we have to do this right now. It could be a year from now. Because we're not getting a sewer in a year. It's not happening that quickly. The county hasn't taken care of Los Osos in the past, and I don't believe they're going to start now. We have a handshake deal that's maybe fingernails, just barely holding on with the county over our habitat conservation plan. And my assumption is the only reason they supported it in August before the September recall election was to show some good faith towards that project. So without a habitat conservation plan, you can look around our community and see what the county hasn't done for us lately. Let me just say that the district spent 4 years working on a habitat conservation plan. Some $400,000 has been spent writing it, rewriting it, writing it again. And it's still in its draft form. It's not approved. U.S. Fish and Wildlife doesn't like it. That's who it's for. And the county's only participation financially has been from a grant that they received from Fish and Game that is for future work, not the past. So we still don't have it. Without a habitat conservation plan, we have a library that can't expand. The citizens raise the money to do the work, to expand that library they love. We're the largest per capita card holders of the county are in Los Osos. We love our library, but we can't expand it and improve it to serve the community that loves it and has really used it. The building is tired. Doris Avenue cannot be opened up. Our emergency services has asked that be opened up for a thoroughfare for expedited service should an emergency arise. No habitat conservation plan? No. Can't open that road. The El Moro Bikeway took 16 years. The way they got around a habitat conservation plan is because they found money from federal sources. We got a skateboard park in the front yard that belongs in the backyard. That's what the county's been doing for you lately. So, the county had control of our water department. 2,700 customers are paying now to upgrade the system to the tune of $5 million because the county
had it in their control and didn't maintain it. Deferred maintenance, waiting for a sewer perhaps. The streets are going to be torn up. The roads are going to be torn up anyway. Maybe that's when they were going to fix it. Well, we're fixing it now. Our customers are paying for it now. The county failed to maintain our roads. We all know that one all too well, as do our ball joints and our shocks on our cars. Just in case you didn't know what a ball joint was. It's going back in my past. In 2004, when we went out to bid on the project, the bidder's feedback to the district was, hey, we don't want to bid this job. We don't know what our obligation to the roads is. The pavement here is too uncertain. And what is our requirement? So the CSD, due diligence, spent $60,000 to get an asphalt survey. They went around and cored the community, cored the streets. Now we know if you've got 4 inches of base or no base at all. Some roads have pavement over water. The county put those roads in, and they're not maintaining them. When the bids came back in 2005, they reflected $6 million worth of deferred road repairs. Those are just some of the things that the county hasn't done for us lately. And I want to talk about the county and Tri-W. They didn't consider Tri-W in the 1990s when they were siting a sewer plant. Hell no. Downtown's ridiculous. But when the Solutions Group became the CSD and they pushed forward their agenda for a downtown park, in the same rush towards a project, any project, they defied the zoning and good planning principles by amending the LCP, the local coastal program, to allow a sewer plant in the downtown on commercial property that only Peg Pinard, one supervisor, voted no. And her reasoning was, you're giving up your economic core by putting a sewer plant on commercial property, even putting a park on commercial property, in her opinion, was giving up an economic core for our ever becoming a city where we could take care of our own needs. Cityhood has its own controversy, and it's years and years away to even talk about. But good zoning and planning principles were thrown out the window in a rush for a downtown sewer project. So do I trust 10 days before the election, they approved the grading permit? The grading permit that allowed for mass excavation on the Tri-W project, the fait accompli. They did it, I believe in error. The board, the Los Osos Community Services District Board, had not approved a surety bond that the county required to get that permit. You want to talk about backroom deals? Monterey Mechanical, who stood to gain the most, fronted that bond so that our town would be in the situation we're in. It put our board, our community, at $225,060 liability for just grading that site. But of course, it could have been worse. Mr. Buell was willing to put his house up, and the record shows it. Mr. Hunter talked at public comment about climate change, and I love these guys. I'm so proud to work on a board with you guys. But the reality is, November's coming, and the board could change. And I think what we do now, the bill probably can't be undone by a new board. But it's something to consider in what direction the community wants to go. And we're just like the old board if we hammer something through without considering that. But even more, the Board of Supervisors will change. The supervisors now, nobody lives in Los Osos, but we don't know who's going to represent us in November. And what does that mean to an interagency agreement? I've heard Roger Anderson, he says the state's going to take it. Well, I kind of know where he's going. Then there's Mr. Blakeslee and trust. First of all, I don't know even if the author of the bill can change it. From what I understand, he might not be able to. So are we approving the bill as amended? Because it might not get amended. And it's just like what Mr. Onstott said. It's on its face. And on its face, it hurts Los Osos. It doesn't protect us. It hurts us. Christine represents Mr. Blakeslee. And I remember milling around after the County Board of Supervisors meeting June 19th. And she had 10 or so citizens that were asking questions, and she was interpreting what was happening. These are interpretations. They're not in the written. And she said she hadn't seen the draft letter. She came in, and June 21st, it was on the website. So May 30th, the county had seen it. Christine gave it to him. June 19th, she said she hadn't seen it. June 21, it's on the web. Everyone sees it. And June 27th, she stood in this room with the wastewater/environmental review committees and some citizens that had come. She happened to be here, spoke about the bill, and that the next day it was going before the local government committee. And she gave a timeline that took us all the way into January. Lots of time and room for us as a community to massage the bill. And the next day, just hours later, there's an urgency clause. And if she didn't know, she should have known. And she should have told the community that this could happen if she didn't know. I believe she knew. I want to talk about the Water Board being a stakeholder. The Water Board and the bill, there's no protection from enforcement. You know, the old board had been afforded the luxury of things beyond its control. Lawsuits were beyond their control. Even the high bids were beyond their control, but they didn't exercise that one. They should have. But our board's not exercised that luxury. Measure B somehow was in our control. And the state revolving fund defaulting on the loan, that's not in our control. They shouldn't be fining this board, and they certainly shouldn't be fining citizens, but the legislation does nothing for either of those scenarios. And then the Water Board, in this letter dated July 24th, clearly supports the Tri-W project because it's what they think is the fastest, the water as fast as possible. So, you know, the Water Board is no saint. Their support of the Tri-W project, they supported a flawed project, risking the waters of the state, risking the bay. And until the revocation, when the Los Osos, technical tax force, pointed out to the Coastal Commission that there was a pipe from the harvest well to the bay, they were going to let us dump water in the bay. And not knowing the quantity or its quality, they were going to give an approval. They did. And then there's the Broderson disposal flaw. Too much water in too little bit of space. Only a matter of time before it fails with nowhere to go. The water had nowhere to go. So I think the water board just doing it was just forcing the... It's not in the language that it won't happen. So I see Gordon and Richard at the ribbon cutting ceremony, and they'll fly Stan in to bring the scissors. I was elected to move the sewer. I'm pretty sure that was my platform. It was my platform in 2002 and again in 2004. I believe every one of you, I voted for every one of you to move the sewer with me. The bill doesn't do it, and amended or not, it doesn't protect the community from a downtown sewer. I can't support it, and I won't.
Thank you for your comments. They're very moving. Director Sassanian, would you like to speak? Looks like you're...
I just don't see Tri-W in the county's eyes. Maybe in the water boards, but I don't see it in the counties, and I think the bill gives the county more protection, more to work with against water boards than they would have if dissolution were the result. And honestly, I don't see another result between here and a year from now. We won't be here a year from now. If we struggle to do this on our own, unless that benefactor is out there. I want to support the bill with proposed amendments, but I would like to reserve the right to express a final opinion when we see the final language.
I think that's a good comment as well. Director Sennett?
Well, I don't see a need to vilify the county based on what they have or haven't done. I think every governmental agency has deficiencies and has shown them. My brother lives in Sherman Oaks in an area where there's not a house under $2 million and the roads are trashed. And this happens all over. I don't see Tri-W in the county's eyes. I really don't. And furthermore, I see the people of Los Osos having the final say over a Prop 218 vote. And I feel there's furthermore a lot of incentive for the county to do a good project to gain consensus. They've stated it. They've done more than just shake our hands. They've stated it in writing. And I think at this point, handshakes are important. And I'm going to vote in favor of accepting the bill with the amendments and further state that we would invite them.
And we can continue to delay this, and it's in the meantime, our basin is not getting any healthier. We've asked, what's plan B if we don't support this legislation? Give me a plan B. How do we get there from here if the county isn't helping us right now? We've asked for the county help. We passed a resolution for the county to help us. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get a project built, and we've seen what the county has said in our staff reports and in our discussions. And I don't see Tri-W as being part of that equation other than is something that is not been taken completely off the table, because there has to be a fair assessment of all sides, just like Ripley did. Ripley's got Tri-W in there. We had to look at it. We had to evaluate it and show it for what it is. And that report's still coming. So I'm firmly behind this bill, because we need a means to the end, and I think this is it.
Director Decker.
If you want the discussion of options, that's not on our agenda tonight. So we're choosing an option without having heard what the options are. You're choosing legislation without hearing what bankruptcy means. I think Mr. Arcuni is a little confused about how Chapter 9 works, but it's a discussion that we all need to have. Dissolution, what does it mean? How does it happen? And is it what the community wants? You're making a decision on an option that hasn't been weighed against the others.
Director Sennett?
I don't believe bankruptcy and voting on endorsing this letter are they're mutually exclusive. We can go bankrupt and support the letter. We can go bankrupt and not support the letter. They don't have anything to do with each other as I see it.
Director Decker?
You talked about options. And those were the options that Lisa pointed out. And when she asked the public to come to the microphone, she gave them the three options and wanted input. So you are supporting the legislation, and Director Sennett is saying we can do both. Well, let's see how that works. We haven't talked about it.
Bankruptcy doesn't get a project built. It doesn't get a project built. And it does cost, we have already heard, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to go through bankruptcy. Do we want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of attorney fees on bankruptcy?
Did you have Director Sennett?
You know, the importance of this legislation, in my opinion, is so critical as an option. The work on this has been going slowly, and now it's accelerated because of the need to get it through committees. I think the Assemblyman has done a lot of work on our behalf, along with a lot of other people. Not necessarily on our behalf, but to get a project built. And the Assemblyman is asking for us to do one little thing to help forward this, and he's included amendments that we specifically asked him to address. And it's saying, he didn't ask us to blindly accept just the legislation. He said, would you support the bill as amended? And the amendments, you say they're not certain. Well, that may be. But he feels confident. And I'm not going to say, nah, you can't do it. I'm not going to disgrace him like that. I'm going to say, okay, we'll approve it as amended. That's the way I feel.
If you remember several weeks ago, when we first saw the bill, I think it was right before the local government committee meeting, a couple of us, John and Steve, I think it was, put together some proposed amendments. We floated them to the county. They came flying back in our face. No, you're never going to amend this thing. You guys raise your voice, and you're going to kill it. Nothing's going to happen. Well, we do have some authority. We know that, and we have exercised that to get some amendments to the bill. something that wasn't going to happen. We should just keep our mouth shut. So we're elected to move the sewer out of town. That is still my goal. I intend to see that accomplished, and I think this is a way to do that.
Vice President.
Just one. Remember, we still have the 218 vote. That has to pass. Nothing's going to happen if that 218 vote doesn't pass, and the county's got to go through the process and do enough work to show this community that the project, or at least what the goals that they're working towards, the process that they're going through, is going to be enough for this community to see that they're willing to vote on a 218. That's 1 year from now. That's August of 07. Ripley's report's going to be done in 3 weeks. A lot of answers in that report. So that's, you know, that's the 218 vote. I mean, that's an important milestone that has to, that we have to get past in a positive way for the county to build this project. If it doesn't pass, they walk away from it, and we are right back where we are today.
Director Sennett?
We need to address also the CDOs not affecting anything to go ahead with them. But if there's nothing in the pipeline and we're like this and actually telling them that we're going to probably be, let's wait another year, those things are certainly going to be dealt to the community swift and hard. We're going to have to deal with them. They'll be in our lap.
Dr. Tagger.
I don't think I was saying we don't do anything for a year. I was saying hammer out an interagency agreement in what you think is 6 months, and then you have something in legislation a year from now. Because new legislation a year from now, something that does incorporate the citizens' input, something that does have us at the table from the very beginning. If legislation is what we want or somehow think it helps us, which I've yet to see how it helps the Los Osos CSD, that's what I meant by a year from now, nothing more.
I might just add something right here. I've been kind of keeping quiet, but I might suggest that we approach the county this week and start the interagency agreement now and see how it goes. There's no reason to not do it now. We can request it. I've already requested a meeting tomorrow, actually, to see, you know, depending on what we do, I've requested it anyhow, because I don't see there's any reason to wait. And we can at least get a gauge of how it's going immediately. And that might ease your mind a little bit. And then again, we're not going away. These people are not going away. You think they're going anywhere? We're going to be watching every step like crazy, and we'll be reporting on the progress of the interagency. And the 218 vote isn't until next year. So I'm just trying to think it out, and I'm talking out loud, but I don't see any reason to delay on getting going on an interagency and see how it's going. And I also, what Chuck said about, I'd like to reserve, if I do approve this tonight, I would like to reserve final comments on the final bill, because it's hard to approve something that you don't know what it's going to be, but that's the legislative process. You aren't going to know what it's going to be, and it's going to be beyond his control as well. And he sounds like he has a lot of clout, and he's willing to go in and fight for these amendments if we support this bill, but he will not have the final say, so we shouldn't have our final say either. But I really want to encourage us to get right in on that interagency and not delay at all. And I have an advantage because I was in the room with them. I was in the room with these people. And now, in all fairness, we were in the room with the staff, not the policymakers. And you know that we're all policymakers. We're the board. The county's bigger and all that. So I wasn't comfortable at all until I could get in the room with them. And that's where it has to be worked out, person to person. And
They're not the county of before. Everything Julie said is true. Every single thing she itemized is true about how the county has behaved towards Los Osos. But who is the county? The county is people and personnel that change. They're not the same people. We're not the same.
Against a joint powers agreement. Why did they not want to take that path when LAFCO was pitching us a couple of options?
I don't have an answer to that, John. Do you? Or
my guess would be is that they were afraid there'd be a time when it was one-on-one and there was going to be no decision made ever. And, you know, they wanted an ultimate decision-making body and didn't want to give it to us. They didn't want to be second fiddle. There was something you said a second ago about the bill not helping the Los Osos CSD, protecting us. It's not written for the CSD. It's the people that need to be supported by the legislation.
Well, all I see is the county being protected, Chuck. I don't see this, the people of Los Osos protected, nor the district. And we're the ones in hot water. We're the ones with debt. And, you know, doesn't matter how we got here, we're the ones that have to clean it up. And without a revenue stream, because we've divested, we won't be able to clean it up. And then bankruptcy is the only option. And it is very expensive. So that's why I oppose the bill. It doesn't do what we need it to do. You know, when Joey Ricano came and talked about getting legislation, getting it to help us, he was pointing to a bill in Orange County that gave them a new timeline. Breathing room. That's what we needed, was breathing room. And we don't get that out of this bill either.
Any other comments over there on this side? I'd like to say that we did make some progress in the negotiations. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago how it was going, I would have changed. I wouldn't have had the same optimism that I did this week. So I do see progress. I do see the clout of this board and their skills in negotiation and cooperation. I see them working. I see face-to-face, and I see movement. I see trust being built slowly. And I guess I'm a believer in the be here now kind of philosophy, and I know all that stuff happened in the past, but why can't we change it together? And it's going to take more than 5 or 10 people, though, you know, and that's something that we've talked about in this room before. If you only have 5 or 10 people showing up to meetings or caring about their town, you're not going to get the attention that you need. But I believe this town will come out. I know they're out there. How did we get 800 Move the Sewer Signs Plus on people's property in this town? A couple hundred people, you know, and I'm looking at them right back there, Mr. Margeson, door to door, getting those people to put signs up. That's true. And the beautiful slideshow they did, all the grassroots activity in this town. We don't want to lose that, and I don't think we will. We're going to be watchdogs of the county if we go this way. We're going to have to be. So, again, from the starting point where we got a hold of this bill to now, we have made progress. Today was very encouraging for me to see what they came back with. But I don't like the urgency of it. I don't like the rush of it. And I'm not ready to say that I'm going to sign off without seeing the final.
Right to express a final opinion when the final language is released.
Would you accept the amendment, Vice President?
Which final version? final? Because these amendments are specific to this letter.
But he's clarifying what he means.
I mean, it's not.
Can we have some help from staff? Does anyone know how long you can reserve your right to comment on a final version?
You can reserve your right to comment on any subsequent version of the bill until it becomes law.
I think that's the better way to say it, reserving the right to comment on subsequent versions, not just the final version. Thank you.
I can go along with that.
Okay, do I have consensus here that we're not doing a resolution tonight? Is that, may I see shakes or nods? I still want the resolution, but nobody else does. Is that kind of how you're feeling or leaning? Mr. Blesky, just for my sake, can we ask pros and cons of resolution versus vote, or Mr. Onstadt?
I'll take my shot at it. What the resolution, though, does is it kind of memorializes your intentions and some of the issues and the thoughts that you had. It also can, as written in the current draft, it also memorializes your understandings of events as to why and what you had to in front of you when you made your decision.
That's kind of where I was coming from. I thought it was good to memorialize things. I did definitely put in the interagency stuff in there, and that. That's where I would still like that, but we don't need it. Is there any other way we can memorialize those things without going through the resolution process? Make findings?
The minutes will reflect a voice vote. Just one moment. Let me just confer.
That's a good idea. Yes.
I don't have any other comments right now, especially on the motion that's in front of the board right now.
Chuck just suggested something which I kind of could live with, and he said, how about a resolution for a final approval since we're reserving the right to comment on subsequent amendments? Could we do the resolution then? No? Does it make sense? Go ahead. Do I need to ask the question, or it just doesn't make sense? I mean, why couldn't we do a resolution to support the bill on a subsequent amendment? Because we're reserving the right now to comment on subsequent versions.
Well, that's true, and that would come at a later date.
Okay, I'm just asking. Yeah, for me, that would be okay, I guess, if we did it that way. I still like the resolution approach. I have one more amendment I'd like to propose to the Vice President's motion before, and that's use and assistance. Just something in there about them. It's not demanding. It's just asking that he use them if he wants to. Something like that.
I'd rather see that a separate motion set tied to this, because I'm not sure which red lines you're referencing. If it's the ones that we've had in the past, which has a lot of different language in there other than what's being agreed to by his letter. So that seems to add a wrinkle in the works to me.
Okay. Director Sennett?
I think that would be confusing. I've found one of the things contained in the amendments mentioned in Blakeslee's letter, which still remains in our red line copy, and that being the word prior for enforcement actions. He was proposing to eliminate that word.
He was. So,
yeah.
Okay.
And it shows here. Are we then contradicting his?
I would like to submit it somehow formally to him, and I don't know how to do that. Mr. Onstadt, could it be a separate motion, or is that not?
President Sicker, you're certainly free to make a separate motion.
It's related to the topic, so I'm okay. Okay. I withdraw the motion, withdraw that amendment for your motion, because okay. So, Mrs. Vega, could we read what we got? Well, we don't have a second, sorry.
Just as a point of clarification then, Vice President Fouché's motion is to support AB 2701 with the proposed amendments in Assemblyman Blakeslee's July 27, 2006 letter, with the board reserving the right to comment on subsequent versions of the bill. And it does not yet have a second.
A second.
Could you read it again for me, please? Mr. Onstadt, what you said?
I wasn't reading it. Vice President Fouché's motion is to support AB 2701 with the proposed amendment set forth in Assemblyman Blakeslee's July 27, 2006 letter, with the board reserving comment on subsequent versions of the bill.
Okay, is there any further discussion on, by the board? Any other first? I just wanted to ask, because the proposed amendments don't have any real language, is there any clarification that's required there? Should it be conceptual amendments, or they're concepts, they're not language? Does that matter?
No, they're proposed amendments set forth, so...
Okay, in the letter, and
it's explained that they're conceptual.
Okay, it looks like we're... any other comments or anything you want to make about this? I guess we're ready for a vote.
Director Sennett.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Tacker.
No.
Vice President Fouché.
Yes.
President Schicker.
Yes. We just believe there's different paths to get there, and so I wanted to say that. And I respect everybody's votes, and I respect all your opinions. And thank you for coming tonight. And we're going to adjourn into closed session and have... pardon me? Did someone say something? We have public comment for closed session, if you'd like to. Oh, I do want to make my second motion. I really do. I would like to make a motion to offer Assemblyman Blakeslee our red line copy of AB 2701 to assist his efforts in pursuing his amendments, the appropriate one, the appropriate amendments. I'd like to offer that for his use and with sending it to Legislative Council. Could I have a second?
I would second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Could you paraphrase me? No? Anybody? Mrs. Vega, would you like to just... what I said.
Okay. President Schicker made the motion to offer to Assemblyman Blakeslee the redlined copy of AB 2701 to assist his efforts in drafting appropriate amendments.
Okay.
And the second by Director Sennett.
Okay. Can we have a roll call vote? Or any discussion? Okay.
Director Tacker?
No.
Vice President Fouché?
I guess maybe I should have said, try to get into the discussion, if I could do that now, just real quick. I'm just not sure which red lines that we're talking about, and I thought we've already given those, so anyway, I mean.
I'm suggesting that they could be useful, and he can use them or not. I'm just offering them. And yes, we have, there are appropriate ones that could be used that might be helpful to his efforts. That's what I'd like to do. I'm just doing it formally. Yeah, I'm making a motion and asking for board support.
All right, I'll say yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Schicker?
Yes. Okie doke. Our next public meeting is August 3rd. But we have closed session now that we're going to adjourn into, so I need to read the closed session agenda for you. Do you want a break, or should we just go ahead? Okay. Hang on just a sec. It's terrible. Do you have an agenda? Do you have an agenda handy? I can't find my buried paper. We're not taking a break, really. Everybody just thinks we are. Sorry. That's okay. We just want to do this. Closed session agenda. Mm-hmm. We really didn't take a break.
Action to its negotiator, Blesky, with regard to potential acquisition in an interest in real property, 067-011-022, with the owners of such property. Under discussion are terms and price. And the item personnel, general manager, performance evaluation pursuant to government code 54957. Taking public comment at this time, Mr. Cooper.
Bo Cooper. Julie, I'm so very, very, very proud of you. Gentlemen, I'm ashamed.
Mr. Barrow.
I don't think that's on the closed session agenda, but I will second that motion. And I think it will help us in our negotiations with the county to call them to task. And damn it, they need to be called to task. And she had strapped on the cojones and did it when you guys couldn't. And it should have been done a long time ago. So regarding closed session, I think I said it at the parking lot. I would ask you to step down because you haven't put together a septic tank management program. AB, 8312 happened over 20 years ago. And it said we're supposed to have a septic tank management program out here. The basin plan says it very clearly, and I sent you all letters regarding that. And you haven't put it on the agenda. And when I talked to Mr. Blesky, he says he's working on it. Well, nobody works on anything without board direction. So I'd like to know what the hell you're doing, Dan. You know, I think it's wrong. I think you've misled a lot of people that could help the community, and you haven't. And you need a septic tank management plan if you're going to be sincere about a step collection system. So come on, folks. When is this going to happen? When are you going to stand up to the plate and hit a home run for our team? And this is a big-time home run. Santa Cruz, they put that septic management in, and they reduced 10%. They reduced the polluters, the failing systems. That's what we need to do. People are coming up to the podium, and every day they say, oh, save our bay, protect our bay. I heard it again tonight. That's how you do it. You make all the septic tanks work right. All the leach fields work right. And you'll see a big improvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Closed session agenda, but Mr. Barrow was speaking on the TSOs, I assume. Ms. Walsh.
Jerry Walsh. Just CEOs. One thing to keep in mind, Proposition 218 is not going to pass unless the costs are tied to a specific project and a specific location, and I will work to that. And proposed amendments are just that, proposed. No teeth to a proposal. Reserving comment does nothing. And negotiating with the county has thus far been disappointing. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sparks.
This ties into legislation in Measure B. You had earlier this year about $100,000 for septic tank management. You settled with Mr. Barrow last October for $125,000, Burke Williams Sorensen. Boy, think what you could have done with that money. And so, you should drop your first. He was hired after that, but I do think you need to take a different direction. Thanks.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Ms. Cooper.
I know, it's very late, and I'll try to make this brief. Which it will be. Let's see. I guess I'm talking to what you're going to be talking to about in closed session, which is selling a Tri-W site. Might want to consider that since we don't have any protection in the bill right now about Tri-W. And two, I asked this last meeting, but what is the acquisition property? There's a little number, but I don't know what it is, and I'd like to know what that is. And just keep working for good amendments. You know, I know you will. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the Jacamazzi property. The Jacamazzi property. That's the working the preferred site that's being presented in the Ripley report. Mr. Swanson.
Keith Swanson, Los Osos.
Just following up with her, I remember a video that we played of Mr. Buell standing in front of the Tri-W. And one of the issues that we had with that video was the fact that it was a location was chosen before the EIR. And we're acquiring a property without going through that process. And I just don't want to become them. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Closed session? Anybody else? Calling once, twice. There we go. Ms. McPherson.
Sorry, I was going through notes and trying to figure out what's on closed session and what isn't.
Everything.
Looks like a lot of things are. I hope that you'll start talking about your options. We've been asking for a long time for options. You talked about options, Julie, and you wanted options, options, options. Now that we're at the 11th hour, it's sad. I hope you talk about options in your closed session. I know you're going to talk about bankruptcy because you do talk about that. I also want to suggest, I was told one time that you guys couldn't just get together and talk under the Brown Act without an attorney present. And I called around, and that isn't true. You can talk without an attorney present, the five of you, and I suggest you get going and do it. Double check it if you want. I've checked it. I could be wrong, but that's what I've heard. I also wanted to just mention that I've been in favor of taking Tri-W off the table in any way, shape, or form you can to discourage that, to give the signal in good faith. The county has said they really don't care what you do before this goes through. So do it. Do it. And there's like five different ways to do it, and that's what you're going to be talking about tonight. My concern when you sell something to a person who is a land broker is that they could easily make money by selling it back to the pro-Tri-W people. Now, what would stop somebody from purchasing Tri-W and then saying, hey, if I can make a profit off of it, I could sell it back to somebody else who might want to put a treatment plant there, and it's all permitted. So I would just caution you that that is a pitfall. And putting all your eggs in one basket and hoping that somebody will drop money out of the sky or a benefactor. And I'm just hoping that in your closed session that you take a good look at all the things that you're lacking right now in the way of facts and figure out a way that you can get the information you need to make the right decisions. And I think you're moving towards that, but it's been unfortunate that over the months these things have been known since the election, the recall election, that they needed to be done and they needed to be known and they needed to be laid out, including bankruptcy. I know a file on bankruptcy existed on the possibility of bankruptcy and dissolution way back when. One last thing I just wanted to mention really quick. The issue of that legislation back in May, that was based on legislation for the county for a dissolution. It had nothing to do with what this board asked for in June. The fact that it carried over and was used is where that came from. It was not something that was in the works except for dissolution. And the county obviously knew that that was possibly coming, okay. And they were preparing for that.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Markinson.
Richard Margetson, I'm going to be discussing item D. I'm going to get to that. It's going to lead to that. The Bay News this week had an article about the fire tax increase in the community. In this article, it discussed the reasons why there was the increase. And I want to quote a couple things. Director Tacker said the fire department reserves were depleted because we're defending ourselves all over the place. It was, and this is the operative line, it was an administrative decision to borrow from fire reserves. Further in the article, it says, and this is Mr. Blesky's quote, for many years, we have been reconciling our books monthly. We have always waited until the end of the year. And also, in the monthly financial reconciliations, there was never a reconciliation of the reserves, nor was there ever a reconciliation of the bank statements or the accounts payable. I want to know what resolution or what motion this board or any other board of the CSD ever put forth that gave the district manager, either this one or the previous one, the authorization, the administrative authorization, to borrow from reserves to pay other bills. And I want to read something out of the fire tax ordinance. Section 2, special tax purpose. The proceeds of the special tax imposed by this ordinance shall be placed in a special fund for the purposes of obtaining, furnishing, operating, and maintaining fire department equipment and or apparatus, real property and facilities, for fire protection services, rescue service funds, and a repayment plan for reimbursing them. Thank you.
Mr. Bilski, are we going to take care of that? Do you have anything to respond this time?
Well, one thing is that in quoting the newspapers, we know how accurate they can be. And that is a misquote on some of that. But let me clarify what we've said. First of all, we talk about a separate fund. The funds were transferred into a separate fund, not a separate account. And that's the problem, is that the accounting on the fund, on the reserves, is what I've been saying all along, is not consistent. And I really don't want to get in a debate with the Speaker, Madam President. And that's what I've been saying since day one, is that we need an audit of those reserves. And if the Speaker's alluding, has the reserves been mismanaged? I would say that an audit will reveal that. And it's not just on the old board either. But when you have bad accounting information given to you and you manage from those documents, you're going to make mistakes. And there has been consequences for those mistakes. And there has been accountability had for that. So what the Speaker's saying is not, if he's alluding to the fact that the reserves are in chaos, I'm not going to disagree with him. I've never said anything otherwise than that. As a matter of fact, that's a big point that's coming up in some of the court hearings. Having to do with Barnard and Monterey Mechanical. There was a couple other points, Madam President, if you could refresh my memory, that the Speaker brought up.
It was just mainly he was reading about where the reserves are, what they're supposed to be used for. And where are they? And all,
the,
you know,
the
gonna,
other thing, though, is
we need to address it.
I'm sorry, Madam President. If you look in the CSD law and you look in your bylaw, or excuse me, and you look in your policies, you're allowed to borrow from various funds. It's bottom line. The thing is, though, is you have to pay it back. It's that simple. Now, if we want to make it more complicated than that, you know, that's fine. But it's really that simple.
Okay,
and it's
thanks.
The board's decision, and there is nothing, everything that's been done and borrowed has been done by a resolution.
Okay, it's just getting late. I just have to remind one more thing. Anna Jane Hugh, you told me, was doing an audit of our reserves. Is that true?
She's looking to. She hasn't been able to start
okay,
it yet.
She's, we need her to start to do that right away.
No, we've got a budget. We've got to get
the budget. The budget's first, and we're going to have our budget hearings, too.
The borrowings have not been by resolution.
Okay. Comment noted. Mr. Dugan.
Yes. Are we on? Test. Okay. Somebody's playing fast and loose with the money, period. What I just heard about the fire department and the special tax, I never heard a resolution passed by this board saying you can borrow from that fund. There would have been a hellstorm and a few people would have been rode out of town on a rail if that hadn't been brought up. I don't remember that. Somebody's writing checks on funds and depleting reserves as well as revenues, and specifically from the fire department. And I can remember this board loose on the money. I always said that we need to replace this general manager. I've been saying it for months. I think it's time. Unless we got him hooked in, nobody else wants the job. It's too bad.
Would anyone else like to speak? Closing public comment. Would the board like any final comments? Anything from the staff? Okay, thanks. Good night.